Urban. Deals in the D Studio is hosting the Drew and Mike Show once again as we drag you kicking and screaming into the weekend with our special guest on Facebook Live today, Ted Lee.
Yeah.
The Nuge.
Whackmaster.
The Motor City Madman. God, he has a lot of nicknames.
Rick Gonzo.
Hunka Hunka Burning Ted.
What?
I heard that on Conan. I don't know if that's... I don't remember that nickname.
Huh. Terrible Ted Lee?
Yes.
Ted Lee Von Nugent Burger. I've heard him use that one.
I forgot about that. I like that one.
That's a good one.
Maybe my favorite.
Very regal.
As you know, it's funny. I remember promoting the Whiplash Bash shortly after we got here in 1991.
Yeah.
And 29 years later, he's playing DTE Energy Music Theater on August the 15th. How about that? How about that?
How about that?
How about that? So Facebook Live is brought to you by our friends at Northwestern Tech, the heating and cooling school in Southfield. HVAC's all they teach. It's a 10.5-month program. 50% of the training is hands-on, and over 90% of the graduates get jobs in the real world. And most make between $40,000 and $50,000 after a year. It's a skilled trade. They're back. Northwestern Tech, northwesterntech.edu. Classes start March the 2nd. Do mention Drew and Mike when they ask you where you heard about it. northwesterntech.edu. And I just noticed Gwyneth Paltrow's no makeup party.
Yeah, I saw that.
Is this going to catch on?
No.
I don't think so either.
Well, don't you want it to, though? Don't you want
a
picture?
Yeah. No, I want them to start with the jail parties, where the women are jailed for 60 days, and then they let them out and have a party. We can see all the pictures, because we can see...
Women look their worst
after 60 days of jail.
I was going to say, you want us in jail for 60 days. Who's going to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of, then?
We don't get much in 60 days.
The laundry? Just kidding. Did you see the picture in the headline was Gwyneth Paltrow... who were the other two? Demi Moore.
Her daughters were there.
And there was a third person, and they showed the picture. Oh, it was Kate Hudson. But in the picture, Kate Hudson wasn't in the picture, and there was some really old chick.
That's Keanu Reeves' new chick.
Oh, really? Well,
never wears makeup anyway.
The one I
saw
cheating. Listed those three people, but in the picture just had Demi Moore, Gwyneth Paltrow, and some really old chick. And if I was Kate Hudson, I'd be a little pissed about it.
I think you're really ugly.
Well, wait, so Kate Hudson was not photographed?
No.
Then don't say she's at the party, because we don't get to see her.
I know.
Doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Doesn't count. And I have to tell you, I don't think they looked very good.
Yeah, that's why. I don't understand why you want that, because we're going to a great deal of trouble to look good for you. You're our audience, right?
So why would you have a party where you try to look worse and then take pictures of it?
I don't know. I think.
Is there something freeing about that?
No.
You should be doing it for yourself, Trudy.
Really?
Yeah.
I also noticed some women cheating. They had a little bit of makeup. Brandon?
Yeah. No.
I definitely
check
saw
your
makeup.
Misogyny.
Gwyneth Paltrow is, to me, the one that looked the best.
Yeah.
She does look good without makeup.
That's probably why she threw the party.
This girl in the middle here. Definitely, she's got something. She's got, come on.
She's got black eyeliner on or something, doesn't she?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Otherwise, she looks horrible.
Yeah, she has foundation and new lipstick.
Party.
She's got the makeup look that doesn't look like you're wearing makeup. But she's wearing makeup for sure.
Nobody's fooling me with this one. I want the jail party, and I want it now.
I hope your party sucks.
Teresa Baldus, who appeared on the Soul of Detroit recently.
Yeah.
And happens to reside with the host of The Soul of Detroit and also bears children. She had a... Well, she did bear his children.
Yeah, no, I know.
I think she did.
Bear his children.
He once told me that they didn't like really referring to each other professionally as spouses.
Yeah.
A long time ago, he said that. And so I was trying to respect that in a weird way. But then he had her on the show and everybody knew it was his wife and...
So the
curtain's
been
great at what she does.
Yeah.
Anyway, she had the story today about the 7 De La Salle in the Free Press.
Mm-hmm.
7 De La Salle football players charged in the hazing scandal a month after prosecutors said, "We got nothing."
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And how about the luck of the birthday coming up for two of them?
Yeah, I didn't.
Because five defendants are 18 and have been charged with misdemeanor assault and battery. Two defendants are only 17, and so they're being charged as juveniles just by the luck of the birthday.
You know, I wanted to text ML and ask him, because I didn't feel comfortable asking Teresa.
Okay.
If they were nude when they were held down and prodded with a broomstick. I mean, isn't that...
She's a reporter, though. That's just a fact. Why would you not feel comfortable?
I don't think it's in the story.
How many times was it written in the story? There was no penetration.
Right.
I counted it twice in the story.
But if they were nude and they were prodded with a broomstick, I think that's worse than if they were held down with their clothes on.
Well, yeah. Anything if you're nude is worse, right?
Yeah. I think nudity, if there wasn't prodding, I'd rather be in my clothes prodded with a broomstick than nude without a broomstick.
Yes. Yes. You need that layer of protection of clothing, and just in case someone slips and their aim's a little off.
And I hate to say this, but these seven guys, the five are charged with misdemeanor assault and battery. They're 18. I mean, that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Two are 16, so charged as juveniles. But they did a dumb thing, and it's really dumb, and I hate this whole hazing thing. But, you know, there's probably 7 million people who are involved in this, either a fraternity or a sports team. I mean, this is so common. I mean, it's stupid. I never knew hazing to involve this broomstick in the butt thing.
No, no.
That's not me.
Apparently,
I'm not involved.
Big go-to move.
Never knew anyone.
Know. But you did mention wieners slapped on shoulders. Have you ever had one draped over your shoulder?
I did not, but I witnessed many, and I laughed hard. I did. It's
part
really
of the
funny.
Problem. You're complicit.
When he can't help that he thinks that's funny, because I think it was always
when Coach Humphreys or Coach Hartman was addressing the team in the locker room, and somebody be standing, a few people be standing behind him, because you're in the locker room and it's kind of weird, and somebody, if somebody's sitting down, would plop their wiener on a guy's shoulder who's behind the coach, so he couldn't see it. And it was really funny, because the reaction is what you're excited about, because you can see the guy sneaking up, and then the guy's just paying attention. And all of a sudden, he looks at his shoulders like, ah! And he can't really get too loud, because you don't want to draw attention to it.
And then he says,
why don't you take your floppy penis and go home?
So I think that was, I don't know, nobody ever complained about it.
Let's see your penis.
Yeah, you're too laughing too hard.
Funny.
True. So there's the Hall Financial Hotline opening up for Mr. Ted Nugent.
Seems early.
Oh, is Ted calling already?
Yeah.
Wow. By the way, Luke Nowacki was here today, and he was telling me he keeps seeing people from our show and from Charlie and ML and Eli and Denny, and he said there's people that come in with over 5% interest rates.
Whoa, really?
On their home loans.
Oh,
and so
they're getting jacked.
He sends a lot of them to David Hall,
nice.
And specifically Philip Lipinski. At David Hall. So, yeah, a lot of you are paying too much, and you really should talk to Hall Financial about a refi. DrewandMike.HallFG.com or call 248-308-5000. Hall Financial, the sponsor of the Hall Financial Hotline. Brandon's doing his interview with Ted Nugent right now. So maybe I'll just tell you could see 2020 in 2020 without glasses and contacts. The only way to get there is a safe, painless, free procedure at the Yaldo Eye Center, LASIK, or the multifocal lens implants. They do have a frames area, too. And Trudy, is it stocked with
frames? Some good stuff there. Plus sunglasses that are kind of rock.
I think I need some new of both. So if you're interested in the gift of great vision, 20/20 or even better, visit with Dr. Yaldo, the most experienced eye surgeon in the Midwest. 1-800-398-EYES, 1-800-398-EYES, or go to Yaldo Eye Center. com.
Yeah.
Are we waiting for the Nuge?
Yeah, that was his...
Ted Lee.
That was his office, just confirming, and he'll be calling any moment.
Layla heard Stranglehold and thought the show was over.
Aww.
A time machine happened.
Oh, Layla. Well, did everybody watch the debate last night?
I did.
Wow.
Very exciting.
It was fiery.
It was actually entertaining.
Yeah, I was amused by it. I noticed that they were laughing sometimes, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was kind of strange.
Did Bernie laugh? I don't believe I've ever seen him laugh.
Not sure he did, honestly.
He did at one point. I can't remember what it was about, though.
Wow.
He laughs every once in a while.
I don't know.
I thought
a couple of talk shows where you'd think he would, but he doesn't lighten up.
I'm really curious as to opinions on when Mayor Pete Buttigieg pointed out that it was the moderator that pointed out that Klobuchar did not remember the name of the president of Mexico.
Oh, right.
And she recites all these facts that she didn't know. She just knew them because she prepared for the debate.
I know, as she was doing, I'm like, oh, please just be a little wrong. Just be a little wrong.
No one in the room would have known.
Today they would have been hammering her.
So Mayor Pete kind of points out that, you know, that's something you really, in a very roundabout way, that she should have known. And she said, are you saying I'm stupid? And the room kind of erupted in her favor, and she somehow spun her not knowing the name of the Mexican president into like a, yeah! On Budge.
It was brilliant.
That was a good move.
It was a good move.
It was a very good move.
Why didn't he just, he's too robotic. He's just too robotic. He should have laughed back at her.
He shouldn't have taken it. I really, Trudy, help me out here if I'm wrong. I thought it was a chick move.
Maybe. Yeah, kind of. I heard that part. I never did hear what the president of Mexico's name was, though.
Oh, everybody that knew it had to mention it.
Everybody knows it.
Nobody knows. None of those news people knew.
Lopez.
Hard to pronounce.
Manuel Lopez Obrador.
I knew there was a Lopez in there. And then didn't Biden say, like, I've known the most Mexican presidents or something? And nobody challenged him to name them all. There's no way he would have been able to name them.
He could have just rattled off names. And, like, you know, he always has.
Why did you stay in Mexico?
He always has that. That litany of goofy names there. He could have just thrown a bunch of those out.
Would know. Snow Campbell was the guy's name.
Am I expectations too low? I thought Biden did a pretty good job. I mean, for Biden.
He did, actually. He was, better.
Ted's column.
His standard's so low, Drew. He's very low energy, but he was all right. He had a couple good lines.
Yeah, he always takes credit for anything Obama did.
Yeah. Oh, that's the one thing when he was attacking Bloomberg on the whole stop and frisk, and he's like, "I stopped it," and he jumped on. He's like, "Yeah, but we had to send people in there, and you still ignored it. We had to have a court." Yeah, I mean, I've never seen him attack somebody like that.
Kind of a score, a bit.
Well, he's got to do something.
Brandon's doing his second interview.
Yes, he's interviewing Ted now.
It's so in-depth here.
Oh, Larry on Facebook Live. It was Corn Pop, Trudy. That was...
Oh, Corn Pop.
That was Biden's...
Oh, yeah, Corn Pop.
Biden's buddy from back in the day.
Loves that story.
Yeah.
I think Brandon's going to let Ted go. Let him go to us at it.
Oh, all right. Here we go.
Is that Ted Lee?
True, Mark, Trudy, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
How you doing, Ted?
I'm doing so good it's stupid considering this fucked up world we're in. How about you guys?
You know, it is a fucked up world. And when I found out we were talking to you, I thought, God, there's so much to talk to Ted about. You really don't have to do anything to prepare for Ted.
Sure.
But I was preparing, and I was having so much fun looking at old clips of you, and I saw you on Letterman, I saw you on...
I was such a handsome son of a bitch. Come on, admit it.
Ted, if I ever forget the meaning of the word swagger, I'm going to look at your Letterman appearance from the 80s. You are so damn funny, and you have your guitar in the chair. You're playing, you and Paul are jamming.
Yeah, well, the cool thing about that, Drew, is that they said, would you play the guitar? And I said, sure, what do you got? And, of course, most guitars, and I'm one of them, I play a Gibson Birdland made in Kalamazoo, Michigan, by the luthier gods of craftsmanship. And so I have a very special guitar touch. And, yes, I can play anything. It's like a gun. If it's sighted in, I can hit something. But when they handed me that Les Paul, it had really huge strings that I wasn't used to, and they plugged into an amp that was like a reject from Hee-Haw. By the way, all you country fans out there, pay attention. Hee-Haw was not a documentary. Get over it. But anyhow, so I grabbed that son of a bitch, and you have to admit, that was young Ted, the Motor City Madman, paying homage and love and gushing adulation to Chuck God Berry. I mean, it really came off good because David's band, I mean, that's one of the reasons I wanted to get on there. I wanted to jam with Paul and the killer band that he had. So that's always a musical orgy for me, man. I love that shit.
Ted, before we get to the odds of the day, it's August the 15th at DTE Energy Music Theater.
Right.
How about that?
The biggest outdoor venue we have. 29 years, Ted, after I arrived here, and Trudy, and Mike, and we announced the Whiplash Bash in 1991, and you're still playing the biggest summertime venue.
How precious it am I, huh?
Isn't that cool?
And the name of the tour, you know when you're surrounded, we've talked so many times about this. By the way, Trudy, did you miss me?
I did, and you're
That's
always...
all I needed to know. But no, anyhow, have we been doing this a long time or what?
Yep.
But we've always talked about it, and you know, you got into this. Yeah, you're a cocky, smart-ass radio guy, and Trudy, you're a cocky, smart-ass radio gal. And Mark, I guess if you're with Trudy and Drew, you must be a cocky, smart-ass radio guy, too.
Sure.
And God knows you're on the phone with a cocky, smart-ass radio czar. But we all really got into this, and we all really connected because of the music. We love American shit kicker rock and roll. We love this soulful rhythm and blues, Little Richard authority music that we all so dance and live by. It's the soundtrack to the most special moments in our lives. So whenever we get together and we talk about, well, Ted started rocking in 65 and 70, well, yeah, but I won the Battle of the Bands in Detroit with my band, The Lourdes, in 1963, and we actually got on stage at Cobo Hall. I think I was 14 or 15. I didn't have a driver's license yet. I still drove there. And that was me in the parking lot doing donuts. Anyhow, I got on stage opening up for the Motown Orchestra and the Funk. We talked about this, Drew. The Funk Brothers, they're literally...
Wow.
Universally, globally revered as the gods of musical authority. So even though I was already a fan of these black gods of musical authority, I was on the damn stage at Cobo Hall in Detroit right next to these guys when we opened up for the Supremes and the Motown Orchestra. So I'm tainted. I'm different because I've been doing the breaststroke in the greatest music with the greatest musicians. Jason Heartless, the drummer from Detroit, who just pounds the living shit out of my music, and Greg Smith, the best bass player this side of the Funk Brothers. So, yeah, 2020, I have to do this. I played my Gibson Birdland about an hour ago, and shit came flying off that guitar neck. It's like Sonic Viagra. I love this stuff. It's 71. By the way, 71, I'm old! But I love this stuff. Like, every time I pick up the guitar, it's like my first piece of ass. It's perfect! Could I explain it any better than that?
No. Ted, I want to go a little sideways here with Chuck Berry, because the other day I was listening to the Beatles channel, and I heard John Lennon singing Johnny B. Good.
Sure.
And you know, Chuck Berry. And Chuck Berry, who's, God, his phrasing, no particular place to go. I mean, who comes up with a hook like that? But then I was thinking, you know, boy, there's another side of Chuck Berry. You know, there were some things that weren't too cool about him. Did you know Chuck Berry to be kind of a weird guy, or did you just know him musically?
Well, both. You know, you guys love the energy when we do interviews, don't you? Don't
Absolutely.
You love my,
yes.
Don't you love
yes.
my, I'm like a Verner's where you drink it too fast and it makes your nose sizzle. I have life American dream effervescence. And one of the reasons, other than playing next to the Motown Funk Brothers when I was a kid in Detroit, but I played bass guitar for Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley in 1969.
Cool.
I'm special. I mean, anybody that got to hang with these founding father gods of the greatest musical authority in the history of the world. I'm a big fan of Beethoven and Bach and all those ruffly shirt goofballs with the wigs. But when it comes down to down and dirty, emotional, spiritual, sexual musical authority, it really was Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis. Those were the guys. And for me to stand behind Chuck Berry and just literally out of body, it's like I'm Bruce Lee samurai music guy. And it's so special for a guy who loves music like I do. Now, that's the music part. He was literally a musical god. Now the weird part with holes in the bathroom wall and
yes,
stuff like that.
Exactly.
So, and if you watch Hail, Hail, Rock and Roll that Keith Richards produced, because he so adored Chuck, and how nasty Chuck was towards Keith. And they actually, he knew he was being filmed, and he was still being nasty, the guy that was trying to resurrect his career.
Yeah, he was bizarre.
That would qualify as weird, but you know, we're all weird. I know you're weird, Drew, and Trudy, you're still hanging out with us. You got to be weird. And Mark, if you're hanging out with us, I suppose you qualify too. So we all have some really good stuff about us, and we all have a little edge and a little weird, and I think Chuck was so mistreated in the industry. Oh my God. If a promoter made $1 million, Chuck would get 10 grand.
So you is know, that why then, he demanded cash, Ted, and he would show up and play with a pickup band? Because that just seemed, for a guy that great, why did he do that?
Well, because he was so, he got stabbed in the back so many times. Can I say butt fucked on your radio show? Anyhow.
Yes.
He got so abused, and this industry is notorious for that. God, I've told you some of the stories about lawyers and accountants and so-called managers that have just ripped off everybody, including me. So at some point, Chuck went, you know, I have a contract for $200,000, and when everything is said and done, I get to take home $5,000? Huh? So he went in with a suit, with a briefcase, and he said, I want $25,000. I want it in cash, in small bills. Give it to me, and I'll get on stage with these musicians and play my songs. Is it crazy? Yeah, but when in doubt, you whip it out. You got to improvise, adapt, and overcome. And he was forced into that by a corrupt system and criminals in the music industry.
Yes, it's true. Going through the 80s and watching you on David Letterman, I also remember, it just came to me, that wasn't Little Miss Dangerous, did that debut on Miami Vice? Did it play on Miami Vice?
Well, it was at the same time. The producers, they heard the sexiest damn Fender six-string bass lick in the history of noise for the radio one day, because a lot of stations played the Little Miss Dangerous song for a long time.
Yeah.
And it is a grinder. My God, I could bring back Bruce Jenner with the first four bars. never mind. Anyhow, it's such a sexual, grinding, reading soundtrack that the people, you know, Miami Vice was the number one TV show at the time. In fact, it was a phenomenon for all the right reasons. And they heard that, and I had just acted on a Miami Vice episode titled Definitely Miami, and I hung out with these guys, and I'm always beating on a guitar and just shooting the shit with them and having fun with them. And they heard that song, and they went, God, we should do a Little Miss Dangerous episode, because the show was about sexy stuff. And that song is about as sexy as you can get, so they used it right after it was released, probably within a month or so after the release of Little Miss Dangerous. By the way, I've never released Little Miss Dangerous. I've still got her here.
Ted, I was looking at set lists, and I did not see Little Miss Dangerous on recent set lists. Are you going to play that this summer, possibly?
You know, when we jam, when Greg and Jason and I get together, we only jam for a couple of days before the first gig, because we know the songs inside and out. And we've talked about this before, and it's kind of it has a selfish edge to it, because yes, I play and I put on the best show possible. Every concert is the most important concert. Every gig is a gift to me and the band, so we put our heart and soul into everything. But we really play for us. I play my guitar because I like the sound, I like the texture, I like the pulse, I like the licks and the outrage and the adventure and the sensual stimuli of the guitar playing. So I play to really, really stimulate me as a music lover and as a music creator. And I know if I really, really make me happy, that someone who paid a ticket to hear the best Ted Nugent presentation possible, that if I really force myself to be the best for me, then it will be the best for the audience. That being said, we play so many of my killer songs. I mean, the Beatles and the Stones, I suppose, and there's a bunch of other artists, but I love all my songs, and I only got 2 hours on stage, and at Pine Knob, I only get an hour and a half. So it's hard to really play as many songs as I want to. Yes, we've done Little Miss Dangerous a bunch of times, but there's so many different songs that I get up there and I kind of yell out what we're going to do tonight, and we do the ones that we prefer.
Okay, I guess that's a maybe.
I'll tell you what, Drew, if you're there and I see you, I'll play the damn song.
Okay, I love that. That's great. I'm putting it on my calendar immediately. I just saw the funniest headline today. I don't know why. It was in Metalhead Zone or something, and the headline was, Ted Nugent's son poses with dead animals like his father. That was an actual headline, Ted.
Boy, talking about boring. Could you be that bored that that could be a headline, much less a thought? Yeah, we like to pose with our dinner before we grill it. It's you know, the Native Americans, when they were given the gift of steaks from herbivores and bison, they went nuts and danced naked around the fire because they appreciate the gift of meat from the Great Spirit. That was their religion. Well, modern-day hunters, and certainly my son Toby and all my family and I, everybody I know, we are so thrilled to finally ambush that animal and kill it cleanly, because it's tough, it's hard. You get skunked 9 days out of 10, maybe 29 days out of 30. So there's a great exaltation, there's a great celebration, and the animals are so beautiful. I mean, is there anything more beautiful than a white-tailed deer? I mean, they're the magnificent creatures. So, yeah, we pose with them because we're very proud of finally accomplishing our reasoning predator pursuit, and we got the ultimate chow for the grill. So, yeah, we take pictures with dead animals. That's a good idea. In fact, I would call that perfect.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if it was Toby or Rocco, but I remember meeting Toby. Was it Toby Mark at the Lions game? We were up there.
No, that was Rocco. Rocco's 30 years old this year.
Oh, wow.
Jesus. Well, and Toby's 44.
Wow.
Well, my oldest son, Fleetwood, is 51.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. We got a tribe.
if it was Rocco, and I guess it was Rocco, but this is back, we went with the guy with all the hair salons, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name?
Paul Mitchell?
Oh, I can't think of his name.
No. Chad.
Paul Mitchell guy?
Lady Jane's Chad.
Anyway, he was so Johnson. Polite and so understated and just a really nice kid. And I thought, you know, Ted Nugent's kid, he probably didn't have to turn out that way. He could have been different. He could be really cocky, could be entitled, but really nice kid.
Sure, not only that, Ted was just named Father of the Year at his kid's school.
That's right. Back when I was back in the 70s, I was Father of the Year. I was always the room father. I would bring a mounted buffalo head, a hibachi, and some buffalo steaks and tell the children where their food comes from. No, but thank you for that, Drew. But I got to tell you, my sons and daughters, they did have to turn out great. It's called discipline. It's called parenting. It's called loving and nurturing and guiding them on a true North Compass setting. And I'm telling you, what you just said, I get everywhere, every day, from everybody who has ever encountered my sons and daughters, my brothers, my sister, Shemaine, obviously, everybody, even my band. You'd think they were scoundrels, these rock and roll scoundrels, but everybody around me, especially my sons and daughters and my grandkids, are as polite as kind and loving. They are cocky. Maybe you didn't see the cocky side.
I didn't.
It's really beautiful. but they're just good damn people that you'd like to spend time with. They're quality people who put their heart and soul into being the asset column, not just for themselves and their family, but for their fellow man and the environment and their country, God, family, country, and all that controversial stuff. So, yeah, thank you for that, but I get that all the time. In fact, what is the ultimate compliment you could give someone? I think it's either that they are grounded or down to earth. And because we do hunt and fish and trap and we plant trees and we farm and we ranch, we raise livestock, because we work with the ground and with the earth in an honest, you know, stewardship responsible way, we are down to earth and we are grounded. And I think I couldn't be more proud of my kids and my grandkids.
Ted, are you interested in what your biggest streaming song is? Just because it kind of says, what in 2020 do people love most that Ted Nugent does?
You know, I would have to say it's one day it might be Stranglehold, and the next day it might be Fred Bear, but it's those two most requested. I'm not doing, but the phenomena of social media, my God, the love for my music and the love for those two songs particularly. But, and today's a perfect example. I just hung out with three different heroes of the military, signed a whole shitload of stuff for their fundraiser coming up to help the wounded warriors. And each of them referenced Stranglehold as the song that they would listen to as they went into battle, and Fred Bear as the song they listen to when they get together around a campfire and reminisce and support each other. So is there a song that is actually the number one streaming by me?
Google Play says Stranglehold.
It's saying same on Spotify.
Did you ever see the use, the editing they did on the Mark Wahlberg, what the hell is the name of that movie?
Sniper?
American Sniper?
Yeah. No, not the Sniper, but he's used Stranglehold in four different songs.
Really?
It's about the football player from Philadelphia.
Oh, Long Shot. Is it Long Shot?
Yeah, I can't think of that.
Number 83, he won. He tried out. They had a free agent trial with anybody could show
that's
up, and
right.
He made the team.
Yeah.
That's right. Invincible.
Invincible, yeah.
Invincible. And the way they use Stranglehold, even though it's a really sexy song and it helps the sexy moves, but it's also a defiant song of a warrior mentality overcoming obstacles. And boy, the way that they edited that song in Invincible, I cringe at the thought of people editing my music because that's my baby, that's my vision, that's my statement. But they did such an incredible job coordinated with the imagery on the screen that it was really the best application of a song I think I've ever seen.
How many times did you watch it over and over?
I've only seen it once.
Well,
but,
once.
But I didn't know the song was in the movie.
Oh what? My god!
And it came on, and I went, "Shemaine, check this out."
how big of a say do you have in licensing songs for movies? And when
well, that's in the hands of Doug Banker, my manager, and he's the master of that, and I trust him, and he is so good at that kind of stuff that he will make sure it's done in the right way, it's used in a proper format, and that I get paid.
Has he ever brought you one and said, I just don't know about this one, and you shot it down?
No, because he wouldn't bring it to me unless he thought it was really cool, and we think a lot alike because we both love the music. And I remember when Dodge was promoting their Hemi and the Ram trucks, and they had Stranglehold on the radio when these guys pulled up next to a truck and said, "So got a Hemi?" Stranglehold's on the background. I thought that was pretty
cool.
That's perfect. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And by the way, I got a brand new Ram out of the deal.
Whoa.
Nice.
Is it zebra striped?
No, but my Bronco is zebra striped. I have a Ford Bronco that would crawl up your face. It's so cool.
Ted, has anything come close to Stranglehold for movie licensing?
Probably not in sheer numbers. Let me think. They've used just what the doctor ordered before. They should have used it with Dr. Pepper. I can't. Dog Eat Dog was used a couple of times. Cat Scratch Fever has been used a couple of times.
Oh, yeah.
Is Mark Wahlberg a friend of yours?
I've never met him, but boy, he sure has a good taste in music.
That's amazing. Four movies. By the way, going back to your streaming, Stranglehold number one, Cat Scratch Fever number two, Free For All is number three. Now, that surprised me a little bit.
That doesn't surprise me. You know, we play 6 nights a week for about 6 weeks every summer, mm-hmm. And we know all those songs really well. I can play any song. There were some requests last year, the greatest tour of my life, that came up, yelled up on stage where they requested some old Amboy Duke songs, and I really couldn't remember how to play them. I could play the main riff, but I didn't remember the bridge and all the lyrics. So, you know, what have I got, like 30 damn albums, sold 40 million records, and the Amboy Dukes we started in 67. We still play Journey to the Center of the Mind, which was on the second album. That was the second album.
Now, that would be on a separate list. That wouldn't show up under Ted Nugent, I bet, would it, Mark?
Probably not. Mm-hmm. Probably not. But we still play Baby Please Don't Go, because I've been playing that since 1960.
You know, I noticed you opened up shows with, was it Grand Funk or an American band? Did you open up a couple shows with that?
We're an American band on the PA system before we go up. And then, then it breaks into Street Fightin' Man by the Rolling Stones. And then I come out either riding on Buffalo, swinging from a rope, or wearing a loincloth and landing on your face.
Oh, man. Here's a little more of the list. Hey Baby is number four.
Hey,
sure,
baby.
Great song. Derek St. Holmes wrote that, baby. That's his song.
I love that song, and I love his sing. I saw him was doing a gig in the UP somewhere recently.
He's a monster. He's always out there. He's singing and playing better than ever.
Does he ever come out and sing with you for a night?
Sure.
Or?
Whenever the geographical logistics coincide, yeah, he's always welcome. He always does a great job.
Stormtroopin'.
That doesn't surprise me. We still play that often.
Just What the Doctor Ordered.
We play that often.
Dog Eat Dog.
Love the song.
Wango Tango.
It's a love song.
Wang Dang Sweet Poontang, which you were bleeped for on Letterman, by the way.
Yeah, well, why? Well, come on. I mean, it's just a love song. I mean, I think it was a Howlin' Wolf. Howlin' Wolf had a song called Wang Dang Doodle or something like that. I mean, that's probably where I picked it up a long time ago.
I just rhymed it with Poontang. I got it.
It's a love perfect song.
It worked. Motor City Madhouse.
Great. So what a monster song that is. You know, Chad Smith, the Chili Peppers, mm-hmm. born and raised in Detroit, one of the greatest drummers that ever walked the planet, like all my drummers.
Yeah.
We were in San Sebastian, Spain a few years ago, and Chili Peppers were playing. And he came down and he grabbed me and he said, "Before I die, I have to play drums on Motor City Madhouse's Stranglehold." I said, "Well, let's do it tonight." And I'm telling you guys, Chad Smith, we'd never met. I knew he was a killer drummer. He played Motor City Madhouse in Stranglehold absolutely lick for lick and with the definitive feel and pulse. So that's quite a compliment, because that's not easy to pull off, and it was perfect.
He's also a great guy.
He's such a great guy. He's the Motor City Madman, I think.
So we get Motor City Madhouse. Then we have Here's Why Fred Bear Isn't Higher, because Fred Bear is on there is the original version, and I think that's number 11. And then it's on there just as Fred Bear at number 13. So if you combine the two, I don't know, what's different about those two, Fred or Ted?
I think the original one was so spontaneous. It was the first musical statement I created after he passed away. And with the great Gunnar Ross on drums and Michael Lutz on bass, we went into Pearl Sound over there in Canton, and we recorded it spontaneously just to make a tape for Fred's widow, Henrietta. And so we captured such a spiritual moment of musical love and heartbreak and condolences to Fred's family and to those that loved him. But the sound that Michael Lutz and Ben created, Pearl Sound, was so quality, and it really got the guitar's tone accurate, the bass and the drums and the vocals and the spirit of the song. But then we've recorded it a number of times live in a more outrageous electronic attack mode, and they both have a life of their own. But that original one was almost like a divine intervention. The experimental PRS guitar that I used was a solid instrument that would not feed back normally. But when I played the solo on that original Fred Bear recording, when I wanted feedback like a Birdland guitar, it did. And it would just feed back, and everyone would look and squint and going, "Why is that note ringing so long?" And there's a little spiritual connection with Fred having something to do with the recording.
Wow.
I think that might be my favorite song of yours, and I'm not a hunter, but I connect to the song and some just the passion of it, I guess it is, Ted.
It is passion. Yeah, a lot of people who never heard of Fred Bear. In fact, I think Doug Bedell thought the song was Fred the Bear. and God bless him for playing that on the radio and introducing so many people to that song. But boy, I'm not kidding, there's not a day goes by where somebody doesn't come up to me or I see it on Facebook. What that song has meant to them, bringing families together and mending bridges of feuding brothers and the return of a flag-draped coffin from a war zone, and the song is played at the memorial of a Navy SEAL or an Army Ranger. I mean, it has a life of its own. I'm humbled beyond words that people connect with that song. And again, doesn't that really have anything to do with hunting? It's about my love for this man who taught me about nature and my responsibility to nature. And I think everybody has a responsibility to nature.
Ted, in the intro, too, I don't mean to, you know, get silly about it, but the intro is fabulous. It just, bang, it just comes right out.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that.
Beautiful note. Yes. Anyway, we could go over the rest of the list, but I think we know what we're getting at. Ted has many, many songs that many people love dearly here in the Motor City. And the Motor City Madman will be at DTE Energy Music Theater on August the 15th.
Day before my birthday. Thanks, Ted.
Oh, hey. It's a present.
Sweet.
I know.
And how about that? After 29 years, still playing this giant venue and no doubt selling it out. Tickets are on sale. Is it
Friday?
Friday. So there. So, Ted?
Yeah, pretty damn special year. Going to be the best damn tour of my life. Trudy, Drew, Mark, I'd love to see you guys there. I'll buy you Verners if you come by.
Thank you.
And Little Miss Dangerous, that's almost worth the trip.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure. I will
play Little Miss Dangerous at Pine Knob on August 15th, and you better be there. But even if you're not, I'll play it in your name.
Oh,
thank you, Ted.
Very kind.
Because it's a grinder. And by the way, Shemaine will grind to that song. It is a special soundtrack.
Ted, it's a pleasure always.
Godspeed, guys. God bless the Motor City. God bless America. God bless rock and roll.
Thank you. Ted.
Live it up.
Live it up.
See you, Ted.
Oh, friend Bear, I'm glad to have you at my side, my friend. And I'll join you on the big hunt for far too long.
Find out how many streams that has on Spotify, Mark.
Yeah, well, it's fourth on Spotify. 7.2 million.
Because that song had...
Stranglehold, though, 84 million.
Wow.
That song
is an effective movie song, for sure.
Yeah,
it is, man.
Yeah. Free For All's third on Spotify.
Wow, I would not have thought.
Well, I think that's in a movie, too.
Oh, yeah. It's got to be, yeah.
Well, Fred Bear, honestly... I was coming from Phoenix when I got here, and wasn't Fred Bear just taking off? Weren't we just hearing that in 91?
I believe that is correct, yes.
And I've always said humans need more animal blood. It keeps the spine straight.
I remember going to Jamaica, and we were doing the show out there by the water in the morning, and people were requesting Fred Bear. And what's Fred Bear? I don't know that song. And... that song, besides Detroit, because, you know, Doug, of course, took that song wherever he went, and I'm sure LLZ played it in 91.
For sure.
CSX, do they play Fred?
I don't know.
Do you know?
Do you remember playing it?
I'm not sure they do. But anyway, that song had almost no radio support. It was not a national single or anything.
Long song.
But it's got 7 million streams on Spotify, and I'm guessing probably everywhere else it's got a... millions more. Yeah. I mean, it's really quite amazing.
And I'm going to give away tickets tomorrow, my last pair.
On the podcast? You're doing the show?
Oh, wow.
Tomorrow?
We're not going to be here.
What's going on?
You're going to do it with Charlie?
On wheels.
Oh,
my side gig.
What time?
12:40.
I see.
So if you're listening to this and it's the morning, then make sure you get yourself in gear by then.
Hey!
If you've got a hole, she's filling it.
Fill you up.
She's going to fill you up. Trudy Daniels, 10-3, WLLZ.
106.7, Detroit's Wheels.
Who else might you have tickets for coming up? There's so many shows.
Tickets to the Foo Fighters all day long.
That one's coming up fast.
Yeah.
It is coming up May 16th already. They're doing this thing where they're in vans.
Yeah, it's called the Van Tour. I don't understand why.
Well, they're supposedly doing a documentary about bands when they used to tour around in vans. Like Aerosmith had one.
Wait, so Dave is traveling in a van?
Yeah, they're probably setting it up between, you know, they'll fly. I don't know exactly strategically how they're doing it, but they have it and then they arrive in.
It seems like
they're pretty popular now, so doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose of when bands traveled in vans? Wasn't it done out of necessity?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
It was, yeah. And look how far it's come.
Well, that's why I wondered if he was authentically traveling in a van.
I think there is some amount of that because they are trying to, you know, make it into a rock doc. Dave Grohl is
Sonic Highway, the documentary they did where he went to different cities is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
That was really good.
Yeah.
I love that too. Jim Bentley is moving some wheels at Zot Ford because we're taking everybody to dinner.
There's a listener right now with him.
Yeah, is Don.
Yeah, they were on Facebook Live. I'm with Jim right now.
Don.
Awesome.
Don?
Okay.
Yes, it was Don.
Hey, Don, did you take a dump in your bed last night?
Isn't D-O-N Don? Well, hopefully Don's coming to dinner with us with his guest, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever.
Lover, yeah.
Yeah, fiance, I don't know. Don, it will be so welcome to come to dinner with us thanks to the fact that he has purchased or leased a vehicle or bought a pre-loved vehicle from Zot Ford in Holly. And Bentley, close. Always be closing. ABC, always be closing. Yes, go see Bentley in Holly, and if Bentley's not around, Anthony Ketchum, sales manager, will be there, or whoever, they'll take care of you. They'll save you cash while making the process hopefully simple, fun, fast, and easy. And if you're the, let's see, oh, we got the signed shirts, too, for everybody who purchases or leases a vehicle, and you'll get those probably at the dinner, I assume. And Zot Ford can lease you brand new cars, trucks, and SUVs around $100 a month, or buy them with 0% financing up to $10,000 off sticker. So there you go. Zot Ford and Holly, Jim Bentley, dinner with us. And moving right along to Dr. Roche, who has all kinds of things going on. What's going on?
He does. If you need to tighten up your butt or your legs or any other part of your torso so that they all fit into your skimpy bathing suit this summer, Dr. Roche is the place to go. Their fabulous February specials include liposuction, two areas of that. You get one area for free. So you cover about everything, you know, butt, legs, belly. Also, breast augmentation, their special for Valentine's month, is $500 off. And all the other things that they offer at the offices of Dr. Roche, which you can see at droche.com. There are different procedures. If you need face tights for your face, and they also have several other non-invasive treatments, including BBL, which you want to get before summertime rolls around, because, you know, you get down to the freckling and the sun, you know, all the sun damage and stuff like that. And you're going to undo that and start with a fresh face. All those things at the offices of Dr. Roche, 248-338-1110.
Put your best face and body forward, Dr. Gregory Roche. Yeah. So, there is breaking news on the ABNN.
This year's breaking news on the ABNN.
Happy 38th birthday.
The Antonio Brown News Network.
From your boy, AB, number 84.
Stand by for some booming breaking news.
Shit. Booming.
AB was struck in the head while working out. Did everybody see this?
Did, yeah. It looked like it hurt. Maybe it'll knock some sense into him.
It really looked like it hurt.
Do you want to play that? This is kind of crazy. How did this happen?
I'm going to blame him. He did get out of the bench position too quick.
Yeah.
He certainly wasn't paying attention.
No.
He is benching.
Looked like he got smacked.
The one that he put up, he put his own background music to.
Crack!
Holy jeez.
Do we have any news on...
He must be fine. I mean, he tweeted it out.
Yeah.
Really? So somebody's recording him bench pressing?
Uh-huh. Of course.
Why?
Because he's AB.
Oh man, he got clocked. I mean, right on the top of the head. What is that hits him?
I don't know. You see one go down on the left side, and then the right side it goes down.
I love the inclusion of the coconut sound effect there.
Oh.
Oh.
I didn't hear that.
Man, he got smoked. Just smoked.
Wow.
How about that?
I hope he's okay. You didn't mention the other one, the new song that dropped.
Yeah,
it's pretty great.
We had that yesterday, didn't we?
We have that. Do we play it, though?
I think we did play a little.
Oh,
just
boy,
a brief
where
verse.
Was I?
What's the name of the song?
Oh, that was you and I. We listened to it. It's,
oh, okay.
It's called
that's
Andrew
nice.
Luck, right?
Yeah. It's about Andrew Luck. It's an homage.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's funny, when I'm down here, I can't remember if it happened on the podcast or off the podcast.
Same way.
What, did you want to play some of Andrew Luck? I didn't think
good
it was terrible.
Good luck listening to the words.
Not sure it's a number one hit.
Terrible.
How many streams is this going to
have? This is not an easy decision. Honestly, it's the hardest decision of my life.
Does he have the right copyright to play those clips of Andrew Luck?
What? I don't think this song's going to make a lot of money for anybody.
What?
I don't speak Spanish.
But Andrew Luck doesn't win that much.
That's what I don't understand about it. Maybe it's easy to rhyme with Andrew Luck as opposed to Tom Brady. I don't know.
What?
Trying to get into his head.
Is this song going to be a big chart buster?
No. Mm-mm.
How many streams so far?
So far... Looks like he's got 60,000.
Can't understand a word.
In 4 days, that's not that great.
No, it's not great at all.
I mean, sure, it is.
What has I got a whole lot of money doing for streams?
Well, that was probably booming.
Booming.
A booming song is like Bieber's got 200 million streams for his new song.
Whole Lot of Money has 1.5 million.
It's more than I would have thought. Okay, if he wasn't Antonio Brown, though, I mean, 25, 30.
Oh, if you're lucky.
I think we're going to be really tired of Antonio Brown.
Going to be.
Already.
We are.
I am, but he still is of interest because
he's a mess.
He can still play in the NFL, which, by the way, is talking about going to 17-game regular season schedule.
I know. They're going to change up a bunch of stuff, too. They're talking about adding a team to the playoffs.
As far as the 17-game schedule, it seems to me that if they're trying to cut down on CTE, I don't know if another regular season game really...
Except part of the deal is that they're going to cut down on preseason and practices, so... Which means
they don't play
be...
those guys. The best guys don't play in preseason games anyway.
Exactly. What it's going to mean, too, is worse play throughout the year and more injuries because it's one more game.
But more money! More
yep.
money!
Yep.
It's all about the money.
I'm ready to go in, Coach. Just give me a chance. I know there's a lot riding on it, but it's all psychological. Just got to stay in a positive frame of mind.
You know, I feel like, to be fair, we have to talk about Johnny Depp. And we did talk about him when the lawsuit started, suing Amber Heard for defamation for $50 million. And I thought...
For defamation or something else?
Oh, defecation?
Defecation?
That would be a separate suit.
It's a good joke. I love it. Right there was Shellfish Act.
So
or the glove boat.
It's pretty clear that this was an abusive relationship, and it sounds it. In spite, you know, it's funny how that one piece of video we saw really let us. Brandon's acting like he didn't notice that he just farted.
Yeah.
Writing something down, like, I'm just taking notes. It's some kind of ass. What?
I thought we said it was suing him for defecation. It was a continuation of the...
Wait, so you're able to control your farts?
Sometimes.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Sometimes.
It's like playing a cart. He can actually...
He seemed to be able to control them during the Eli, Denny, and Bob Page No Filter Sports Show, but not during this show.
Maybe if we recorded earlier, that wouldn't happen.
That's a good point, Mark.
Except sometimes I'm here that early and they still happen.
They're silent but deadly in the morning.
What would they do? What would their reaction be, do you think? Or would they have any? Those guys.
I think the reaction would be...
Yeah, they'd be going, they'd be fighting for first
tough, right? Yeah.
Yeah, I have actual audio of the last time I farted during No Filter.
Mm. Oh.
That's Eli.
Sounds like it's
really?
Via Skype.
This is Denny. And then this is Bob Page trying to smell it through Skype. All right. Moving on. Johnny Depp.
This I can pretty well promise you. I think Denny would laugh. I really
yeah,
do.
Probably.
Great
I'm pretty
of
sure
humor.
He would. Yeah, Denny likes to laugh. So Johnny Depp, it was, to me, it appeared that he was a drunken abuser. Mm. She said he was. He gave her $7 million. She gave it to a women's group. And we saw the video of him slamming cabinets around and being very aggressively, language-wise, with her.
Uh-huh.
Being a real asshole. She was recording him without his knowledge, which I think he probably could have done the same and done pretty well for himself, because it seems that when it comes to physical abuse, she probably was the league leader in that relationship and the aggressor quite often.
Yeah.
As, you know, having heard the audio tapes of them talking, and her complaint is that when she hits him, he leaves. Not just when she hits him, but when they argue, and he said, "You're screaming at me. We're in a hotel room. It's embarrassing. I'm moving to another room.
Yeah.
Not going to do that."
Yeah.
And the same thing when she hit him, which she minimized and said, "Oh, I didn't punch you." Mm. He said, "Yeah, you did. You punched me." She said, "No, I hit you." And she used a lot of abuser-type language, excuses. And I'm not saying that being hit by Amber Heard is the same thing as being hit by a male. But it certainly, in my opinion, as far as her position as this progenitor, this leader of the movement against abuse, It really threw that into question. In fact, it more than threw it into question. It made her seem like a horrible hypocrite.
It was bullshit.
And then she writes, after it's, this thing was settled, it was, okay, no one's going to say anything. I'm going to give $7 million to Amber, and she's going to give it to this charity. And it was like, ooh, boy, it doesn't look too good. But I think the incentive was, this got to be settled, and we got to get this over with. And that was the impression I got. So she does an op-ed in the Washington Post where she speaks as a spokeswoman for abused, physically abused females. And that made Johnny Depp get crazy. He sued her for $50 million, and this is going to court. They are being deposed, and we have a little...
How about that?
We have a little bit of the deposition. By the way, he lost his ass in this thing already because he lost Pirates.
Oh, I know. Thank God. I know. I think that's the silver lining, is that we don't have to be subjected to another pirate movie.
It didn't bother me at all, except that for him, a guy who throws his money around.
Has anybody seen all 30 of them? I mean, nobody watches those, do they?
No, I think I cut off after three.
Yeah, I think I stopped after three as
well. Yeah, nobody has seen all the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
But he's in financial trouble. He is having trouble paying his bills.
Five of them.
So anyway, in his deposition, inspired by this Washington Post op-ed, Depp says he was late for her birthday party. He was at an important meeting, which he had told her about. She's 27, 28. She was 27 at the time, I think.
Why is she having a birthday party?
I know.
She's then again, why is he pretending to be a pirate?
Why is she mad that he's late for her
birthday party? It's about her.
So he said he was reading in bed afterwards, and she punched him in the face, and in fact, he had a black eye. And the next morning, Amber Heard dumped in his bed. Whoa. Defecated.
You need to leave.
The interesting thing about that is that it became clear in reading about this that they had different beds.
Oh,
they didn't sleep in the same bed.
Lucy and Ricky?
Yep.
Great.
And so then her people called it a harmless prank and said that it was either Amber or one of her friends. Now, I don't know. Do you think one of her friends...
She said she
really
hadn't gone number two in 10 days, but today was D-Day.
One of her friends take a shit in Johnny Depp's bed? That
Maybe.
Maybe. Anyway, he returned
after... Why would she, though? I mean, both of them sound ludicrous.
I know. So anyway, they all went to Coachella. And Johnny had other activities after Coachella because he's Johnny Depp. And he returned, and I guess that's when he found
it.
He found it.
Surprise.
He said he was filing for divorce.
Oh, so it was probably all hard by then, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I would believe so.
Well, the smell would go away, I guess. So there's a silver lining.
Wouldn't be as powerful.
To this turd.
You and I both know this is weird. Close your eyes and do it and get it over with and hope for the best.
So as she's going berserk, and he is again trying to separate himself from this, is he because he, what does she say he does? He splits every time again. He split. You walk away. She calls.
Okay, bye.
She does the obvious thing to do in this situation. You're going berserk. Your husband has said he's filing for divorce because you took a shit in his bed. But it was a month ago, so maybe it is hard. It doesn't smell. There's only one thing to do. And that's to call your friend Io Tillett Wright on the phone.
Oh, no.
Io.
On speakerphone.
Is Io back?
Io.
Let's see your penis.
Apparently, Io Tillett Wright was there when the dump happened.
Well, then maybe it's Io's.
Well, Io Tillett Wright apparently was brought in to try and help convince Johnny that this didn't happen, that that Amber did not do it.
And if anybody can convince Johnny Depp,
it's Io Tillett Wright. Host of the most overblown podcast, Billy Balls. Luke Nowacki mentioned when he came over today, and he said, I agree, it was just got tiring. It was just too long, or it just wasn't interesting enough. I tried, but it's Io Tillett Wright, so it's great. Everybody says it's great. You're supposed to say it's great, so I'll say it's great. So Depp...
Can't they do DNA and find out if it's Io's
yes, they can.
Or Amber?
Probably.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
So Johnny Depp did what I think anyone would do, much as anyone would call Io Till It Right under those circumstances.
Throw away the bed?
No, he had Amber's phone in his ear with Io Till It Right telling him that Amber didn't shit in his bed. And he got tired of hearing Io Till It Right. He was angry. He'd already said he was filing. He said, I don't care. It's over. And threw Amber Heard's phone toward the sofa.
Oh, that's the one that hit her in the face?
No, it didn't hit her. He said it was 4 feet from her. And that Amber screamed, stop hitting me, Johnny! After he threw the phone and walked away.
Didn't she have injuries? Incident? Or well,
I think that's when she said she was injured, and she has a picture of herself injured, but then the next day she appeared somewhere uninjured.
Oh, with makeup.
Makeup, yeah.
Well,
How are her poops?
I think people in the Depp world believe it's more than makeup, that in fact there was no injury. And he had two bodyguards. They had two security people there that day also.
This is what's so weird. It's such a he said, she said, where both people are terrible.
And there's lots of people around them too, like these security. It sounds like they have security people around all the time, and she has friends around all the time. So anyway, at this point, one of Amber Heard's friends, who Johnny said, I didn't even know she was there, she came out and said, hey, stop it. Leave her alone. At which point he said, I wasn't even in the same room as her.
You can hear it.
So,
I wasn't even in the same room with her.
Anyway, this mess continues, and I'm really interested to see how this will end. Will he get anything? Will he win anything? Does he win any points?
Well, he's already won a point back from losing Pirates because apparently now the petition to get Amber Heard fired as the spokesperson for L'Oreal, which does anybody know that?
No, I had no idea.
Is gaining traction, apparently. There's two change.org campaigns to remove her.
I'll sign
as the global spokesperson for L'Oreal.
Does that mean
the White House's respond? Isn't that change.org?
Yeah, 100,000.
Right now, though, it's only got 5,000.
Where will Trump side in this thing?
Wow, I don't think he would like either one of them.
Probably not.
Has Amber been on The Celebrity Apprentice?
No. Johnny Depp.
After the shameful L'Oreal ad with Amber Heard during the Oscars, people started to take interest, writes the petitioner.
How many? So this thing is over. How many signatures, you say?
One has 5,000. The goal apparently is only for 7,500. So
that many?
The other one has 4,300 with a goal of 5.
That's not many signatures. Well, anyway, regardless,
Well, there you go. Now she's getting canceled. So
is the term gaining traction? By the way,
it is gaining traction.
Doesn't it seem like it's gaining traction?
Yes.
This will be very interesting to see how this wraps up. And meanwhile, we're waiting for the Harvey Weinstein jury to make up their mind, and they haven't done it yet. And we're going on 3 days now. I'm getting worried. What is the word from New York?
I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything.
Brandon, where did you hear that there's apparently a juror or two that do not want to say guilty?
Oh, I didn't hear that. I was just making assumptions to the fact that they keep requesting.
That's why it's taking so long.
Yeah, they keep requesting, you know, transcripts. And so I'm wondering if there's one or two people that are a dissenting vote against whichever way they want to go, and they keep requesting information so they could try to convince those two to flip.
Have they requested anything today, specifically?
I don't know. I just typed in Harvey Weinstein to Twitter, and the tweet from Chuck Woolery pops up, which Chuck Woolery's tweet a gem.
Wolves.
I agree. Let me just say this. I agree 100% with his tweet. He says, just a guess, if Harvey Weinstein wins his case, he'll ditch the walker the same day.
Yeah. I don't know, because doesn't he have potentially more cases coming or no? Is this it?
Got one in L.A.
Oh, yeah, there's more cases coming.
How's he going to travel with that bad back?
He'll need that walker. And
I'm watching him with the walker right now. Here he is at the steps. Some other guy just picked up the walker, and Harvey's fine.
What? The steps are the hardest part.
Oh, I'm going to walk up the steps. We're going to take the ramp. Oh, what a prop.
I'm running.
Hollywood Reporter, why the Weinstein trial jurors are deliberating slowly. Is that a good source?
Yeah, Hollywood Reporter's okay.
Okay. Tony sign is evidence that we have delivered articles. Why does it take four paragraphs to tell me? Why don't you just tell me right away?
Tell him.
You tell me.
Yeah, there's almost too much setup.
Most of the morning session on Wednesday was occupied by a reading of the testimony given by key witness Miriam Haley after request
that
of the jury.
Broad.
Her testimony is germane only to the first two and the most serious charge, predatory sexual assault in the first degree. The jury was instructed first on the predatory sexual assault charges, which pair the testimony of Haley and key accuser Jessica Mann with allegations of Sopranos actress Annabelle Sciorra. Tuesday, the jury sent two notes, a clean one sent only 40 minutes into sequester process. Jurors wanted the legal definition of terms like consent and forcible compulsion. They also want to see a blueprint of Weinstein's Soho apartment, where Haley says Weinstein forced oral sex on her, and to understand the statute of limitations as it relates to Sciorra's 93 rape claim. Earlier, the jurors wanted the judge to reread and re-explain the first two charges. They also requested to see emails between Haley and Weinstein leading to a lengthy conversation between defense and prosecution lawyers.
So they don't get Google? They can't just Google forcible compulsion?
No.
Jurors also asked to be read Rosie Perez's testimony. We knew about that.
Today, they asked for no notes. They haven't stepped in the courtroom. They've had no notes. Only 4 hours today, too. So a total of 14 hours deliberating, which isn't that many.
I don't know why this would take this long.
Because there's a little dope in there.
Anybody have any
thoughts? Should we get our jury foreman, jury foreman expert Tom Mazzaway on the case? He was the jury foreman.
Tap, tap, tap. Case ended.
I got to tell you, he told us something very intriguing off the air, and I got to get his permission to say it on the air, but it's along the lines of one person just going, nope. And trying to convince one person to change their mind.
Happens a lot.
I mean, I guess I don't need his permission because I basically just said what it was anyway.
Well, it sure happened.
There's some particulars about his, when Tom was the jury foreman in that case that I thought was really interesting with this one person that's just like, nope, and why they refused to even listen to any kind of reason, which they eventually did.
Luke Nowacki came by today and we were talking about business and all the shows, and, you know, he's had some great response to advertising and just some of the situations that come into him. For example, a 401k plan that's paying too much in fees. Well,
You
pay a lot of fees over the course of time. And so a lot of times it is a matter of just asking him, can you take a look at this? Something seems off, or maybe they don't even think it's off, but that's something he would look at.
He has a ruthless eye when it comes to that kind of those shenanigans.
Did you ask him what momentum stocks are?
I did not.
Momentum funds.
New term. He's still very bullish, as he should be. And I think in that business, hard not to be bullish. But another case where someone inherits money and it sits in an account for a year because they don't really know what to do. And the person who died is the one who directed the investing. So in that year being 2019, that 200 would have turned into 240 or 250 or 230 because 2019 was a fantastic year.
Best year ever in the history of America.
I mean, I use a calculator for that.
According to someone.
Well, it was a very big year on the stock market. It just was. And so, you know, it's an opportunity. Now, the reverse could have happened. She could have sat on the money for a year, or he could have sat on the money for a year, and the market could have gone down 12%, in which case she might have saved $24,000. But as it turns out, this person was not to be that lucky. So anyway, just a couple reasons why people like Brandon might want to consider stopping by. And he's not under any obligation. It's no cost. Call Luke at 248-663-4748. 248-663-4748. Oh, I pointed at Brandon so he could type in the ending.
I'll take you. Throw me under the bus, Brandon.
I had something else queued.
I wanted him to queue up a piece of audio we pulled today, so he's queuing that.
But I'll hit this first.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Inc. Member FINRA SIPC. Royal Alliance Associates Inc. is separately owned, and other entities and/or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of Royal Alliance Associates Inc.
The audio that, guys, that he was pulling was from another. No, he started playing it, but I was going to set it up. But he there was a piece of audio of another one of a success story from Luke.
Guys come up to me, said, Mr. President, I just want to thank you. My wife used to look at me like I was a total loser, sir. Every year we lost money for years and years. She said, what the hell is wrong with you, Henry? And this year, sir, I'm up 92%. She loves me again. She thinks I'm a genius. 92% 401k. She loves me again. Shows what money can do, right?
92%.
I want to know who's investing in that 401k.
That's incredible to get 92% back in a year. Who's Henry?
Pretty good.
That's pretty genius.
It's such a homespun little story, too.
I know, though, which is probably totally fake. But
what the hell is wrong with you, Henry?
It's really smart of him to do these rallies when the Democratic debate, the same night as the Democratic debate, or when there's, you know, he did it during the primary, the day before the primary in New Hampshire. It's pretty
also
smart.
Did the
of
day of the impeachment.
However,
he had one.
However, I feel like I got really buried in the news. Like, I didn't hear hardly anything about it.
I didn't even know he did a speech.
Because yeah, people
night.
Were just focused on
a billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse faced lesbians.
And that was
shocked
Mike,
me.
That was Mike Bloomberg.
Yeah.
No one, but nobody cares.
And she also demanded
Pocahontas?
That Mike Bloomberg release the women who negotiated NDAs with his company and do it live on TV, which I don't think usually people operate that way. He could have done it, I suppose.
Why don't they take a page out of Trump in his debates and Bloomberg just said, okay, yeah, I'll release him from that and then not do it?
Well, do it live. Well, fuck it.
I would think, I don't know, why is she on such high moral ground? She pretended to be a Native American for decades.
That's the first thing I said to you. I don't know why, when she demanded an apology from him to her about stop and frisk after he had already apologized because the apology wasn't good enough for her, why didn't he ask for an apology for pretending to be, you know, Native American?
I think she's as Native American as I am.
The only thing I've heard about that topic lately, because there's little written about it anymore. The last I recall reading about it was how horrible Trump was for calling her Pocahontas.
Yeah.
That gets more attention than the fact that she actually claimed to be Native American for all that time.
Something I always wondered about Indians, are they Mexicans?
Isn't it nice of Harvard to come forward and say that we just want you to know that she never benefited in any way, shape, or form by claiming to be Native American?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I see.
She also claimed both her kids went to public schools, too, when only one did. I don't know. It's crazy.
There's a
Pocahontas,
few other...
Pocahontas, that's another beauty.
Another one about daycare.
You know.
And, you know, these are being refuted by people. I mean, those things aren't hard to refute.
I
public
know.
And private school? It's pretty easy to figure
just
that out.
Watching that debate, it's like, where's the? Does anybody have any charisma? Did anybody learn from Trump?
Chloe did a great job. Chloe,
I don't mind her in a weird kind of way. And then she'll say something where she's like, oh, "Okay, that was a stupid joke that you pre-written down."
I was very annoyed that she suggested that Mayor Pete was calling her stupid.
I know, but that's the
she's
kind of,
the
that's,
one who couldn't say the president's name.
Sure, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, man. That's
that was yeah,
that
was brilliant.
Works. It gets you know.
But
a
I didn't.
Response.
It didn't make me like her.
No, but it works for other people.
Mayor
Pete should have said why? Because I'm gay. He should have said that.
The most
you gonna pull out the why? Because I'm gay line.
To me, the most amazing thing in that debate, I will tell you in 1 minute. But first, it's a new year. It's a new decade, which means it's time for Zot. Can you go to GMA at 7:06? Which means it's time for Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram and DealsInTheD.com. Start something new event, which Ed's been a part of. Ed got a Jeep, right?
He did, yeah. Yeah, he hasn't gotten any feedback how that Jeep went.
I'm sure he's digging
wonderful.
It. He likes it so much he hasn't had time to feedback. they're leasing the 2020 Ram Bighorn Crew Cab 4x4s as low as $148 a month. Or how about the new 2020 Jeep Compass Limited all-wheel drive around $122 a month? Or if you really want to step it up, get to Zot and lease a new 2020 Jeep Grand Cherokee as low as $229 a month.
Plus, my dad.
It's your lease turn-in headquarters. Any make, any model, over miles, body damage, payments remaining, no problem at Zot. They will get you in a new ride for the new year. Check out the deals in their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
How about that?
You said 707?
706. 706. We'll catch a little bit of the news story, and then it'll go into the Bernie Sanders statement that really blew my mind.
And then can we just roll through the Ben Affleck interview, which was fantastic.
Yeah, we can go to Ben Affleck.
And did you watch Representative Thruple? Remember her? Katie Hill?
No, I didn't see it. Was that good?
It was boring. She has totally changed the discussion to be about revenge porn. And George kind of asked her about, you know, you paid a campaign aide to work for you. And she just kind of blew it off and went back to the whole revenge porn thing.
Yeah, that thing really hasn't, I mean, that story's kind of dead anyway, isn't it?
Yeah, because she resigned.
Not sure why they would even have her on.
Nobody cares to hear what she has to say. Okay, here you go.
Double-digit lead. The two at fundamental odds.
Mike Bloomberg owns more wealth than the bottom 125 million Americans. That's wrong. That's immoral.
It's ridiculous. We're not going to throw out capitalism.
Okay.
We tried that.
Okay, so Mike Bloomberg is immoral for being a self-made billionaire who gives away tons of money, by the way.
Well, that's, why didn't he say that?
He did.
Said, what is so, did he say it right after that?
Well, they clipped it here, but he definitely followed that up with, yeah, I made a lot of money and I'm giving it all away.
Yeah.
They also clipped the applause, which was roaring after Bernie Sanders said it's immoral that he has all this money.
I don't understand. Does this whole anti-billionaire thing really, do people really care?
You know, I don't know.
Obviously, Bernie's people do because he keeps hammering that home. But
I was surprised to hear a lot of applause for the word immoral. Immoral? What is he supposed to do? Shut his businesses down when he makes a certain amount of money? He does employ people.
Yeah, he should give more away, apparently.
There's a lot of
whatever he's giving
dollars,
away isn't enough for Bernie.
Our taxes are created by his businesses.
Well, I thought that was a really interesting point, too. Where he's like, what tax shelter do you live in? And he's like, New York City. Pay all my taxes. I'll put out the return.
And Bernie, by the way, you know, for all the immorality of being a self-made billionaire, Bloomberg did point out that, is it coming up? Is that what you're getting at?
I got it right here.
We have a grotesque and immoral distribution of wealth and income. Mike Bloomberg owns more wealth than the bottom 125 million Americans. That's wrong. That's immoral. That should not be the case when we got 500,000 people sleeping out on the street, when we have kids who cannot afford to go to college, when we have 45 million people dealing with student debt. We have enormous problems facing this country, and we cannot continue seeing a situation where in the last 3 years, billionaires in this country saw an $850 billion increase in their wealth. Congratulations, Mr. Bloomberg. But the average American last year saw less than a 1% increase in his or her income. That's wrong.
Mayor Bloomberg, should you exist?
I can't speak for all billionaires. All I know is I've been very lucky, made a lot of money, and I'm giving it all away to make this country better. And a good chunk of it goes to the Democratic Party as well.
Is it too much? Too much money. Has it been an obscene amount of money? Should you have earned that much money?
What?
Yes.
God.
I worked very hard for it, and I'm giving it away.
Thank you.
What? Why?
Well, I think he's just feeding off of what Bernie said.
But I don't understand the first time,
see, that's much better than the clip that they played on GMA. The clip,
is that clip not a little deceptive?
Terribly misleading.
And that, by the way, they don't have his response that he gives away.
They have a different response.
What's up with ABC News? That's kind of strange.
It's GMA.
It's
terrible.
Why
wrong.
Is GMA allowed to misrepresent what happened?
I thought it was always a good time to get fucking rich.
I mean, if GMA says Kobe Bryant's four kids died in the traffic crash, it's no better than the guy that said it for ABC News. And by the way, it says ABC News on the bottom right of the screen right there. It's got the logo.
Yeah, no, they totally messed that up. But the first time he uses immoral there, I think, isn't he referring to how the government is taking in money and spending it? That I can understand.
Not clear to me.
But I don't know why he's attacking an individual. That's not moral.
Crazy Bernie.
Away. Besides, it's his choice anyway.
To even be asked the question if it's okay for him to make money?
Yeah.
What?
No, stupid.
What country do we live in now? Oh, it fucking blows my mind. And this constant drumbeat at Pete Buttigieg because 40 billionaires have given to him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think people care.
Un-American.
40 out of how many people?
Well, that's
how many donors does
that,
he have?
He pointed that out last night.
Okay, so he should turn away donations because the people make too much money? I don't understand. They can only give so much.
I think they're jealous.
And also, this implication...
I'm sorry, I thought this was America.
Which I've heard, I think all the candidates have said this, that this guy can just come in and buy the election. Isn't the message there that Americans are really stupid? You can just run commercials and run commercials,
but it's,
and they'll go, Bloomberg, because you're so stupid, you can't determine anything but... The most money has been spent, and you've heard the name the most, and these debates mean nothing because I don't have the kind of money he has.
Look at his polling numbers, though, before his debates.
No, it's huge, but I'm just saying,
point.
It is embarrassing to say, though. You are essentially telling the people watching that they're stupid.
But Drew, don't
forget. I mean, that's you feeling that way, I think. I mean, whoever has the most money,
he puts himself
on the map. You can't win without having a lot of money, no matter where it comes from.
He puts himself on the map. I mean, what's his name from Starbucks? He could run $300 million worth of ads. Would he be as high as Bloomberg?
Possibly, yeah. I gotta tell you, he'd be higher than a lot of the other people up there.
He might be, but honestly, the other people up there, I don't know why are they better than Bloomberg.
Maybe he's polling low because he's...
A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians.
Once again, I don't think the electorate cares about that.
Does
either.
He really call people that all the time? Is that something he commonly says?
He didn't have a good response for that, though. He was my joke.
He didn't do anything in the first 10 minutes. It was kind of hilarious watching him. Like, he was a deer in headlights.
Yeah.
He's
debated too as mayor. I mean, he was a 3-term mayor in New York. And by the way, he was a very successful mayor in New York.
It's actually 12 years, though, hasn't it?
Might be kind of beneficial for him that he get all of this out of the way in the first one. Kind of like when you lose early in the college football season.
Yep. Yeah.
You can still make the, you know, championship Final Four type thing.
Well, they battered the shit out of him. But honestly, you know, who should I know the best of those people? The people who have basically been able to hustle the most donations and get elected to an office and then essentially work for those people who give them the most money. I'm sure they have views they care about. Or the guy who was extremely successful in the private world, made billions of dollars. I respect him more than what they did. It's not even close to me.
I don't think many people care, but you have to have a lot of money to win an election.
They have to have money to win, too.
No,
they're out hustling money. They're out begging for money. He made the money.
I agree. I'd rather.
He earned every fucking cent of it, and he gives most of it away.
It would be great.
They're the ones that benefit off people giving them money, not him.
It'd be great if you weren't allowed to take any donations. I think things would be a lot different.
And I'll take any. Let's just pick somebody, please, and let's start this thing.
No one's going to lobby Bloomberg. Lobbyists are not going to have as much success with Mike Bloomberg as those other people because they need money. He doesn't need money.
Didn't we hear that about Trump, though, too?
We did hear that about Trump, but I don't think Trump and Bloomberg are the same in that regard.
I don't think it's necessarily the individual. I think it's the game kind of creates lobbyists to get things done.
Well, they're paid a lot of money, and they have access. So when they're on the inside, they stay on the inside, and they cash in, which is also disgusting. Why should they be paid a lot of money? Because they know these people, because they held office. It's bullshit. I mean, that's why...
America, they knew.
Which is why I can't stand this topic, because these people just... I'm not impressed by... If I have to be impressed by anyone on that stage, it'd be Mike Bloomberg for what he's done. The other one, they're all in one big pile, and I'm not a partisan, so... It doesn't mean a lot to me, but
about stop and frisk?
Let's move on to Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
That's more my speed.
The other countries
could buy an
that.
Election, right?
Ben
didn't
Affleck,
talk
he could buy
running.
A... Matt Damon. He could probably buy a congressional seat. He could certainly buy a statewide office.
Could he get elected in Massachusetts?
He could.
He's had a couple of hiccups.
True, he could buy an election.
Well, that's true.
Nobody cares about hiccups anymore. I don't know if they ever did.
You might be afraid that he'd, you know, like this, get drunk and wreck stuff.
I found this entertaining because, mostly because Diane Sawyer's back doing an interview.
Amen, yeah.
And she's so deep.
I miss her.
She looks almost the same.
I think Robin was either very jealous she was on there with her, or she was very wet that she was on there with her. I don't know which one it was.
Hey, by the way, Ben got an eyelid lift.
He did.
How it looks he like
found
it.
Hope.
How Diane old is Diane Sawyer?
Eye-opening.
Thank you so much. You know, I've interviewed Ben Affleck since he and Matt Damon.
She looks amazing, doesn't she?
She's 74.
With their youth and their talent and goodwill hunting.
She looks just like Denny McClain.
Ben was the race car, talking faster than anybody, reading everything and brimming with optimism. But life is life. And today he's coming back to talk about the strength you have to find in a tough
season. What did she just say?
Life is life.
Oh, my God. Honest word.
Really? Huh?
Ben Affleck strides into Xavier High School in New York with his signature
high-octane
energy
fake.
And tight shirt-talking, funny.
As
we head to the gym where the junior varsity basketball team is preparing for a playoff game.
I believe in you. You're going to do it. I got a very good feeling about
it. Oh, so you scouted these teams?
Affleck has a new movie coming out called The Way Back. It's about a group of young basketball players who need to believe in themselves and a struggling coach. Who needs
pause for
fake
a second.
Too.
His name is Coach Carter.
Is anyone disturbed by the fact that it's a white coach and he's teaching a black team, coaching a black team?
I didn't notice the ethnicity of the students.
No, I didn't either.
When is this supposed kind of, to take place?
Does it suggest that they need a white man?
Well, do they have any female coaches?
I don't think so. Just
well, they have to set it up because he's a very flawed white man.
And if you
run it again. Let's go.
Brandon and I were laughing earlier. Haven't we heard this story?
Yeah, Mark.
Isn't this Hoosiers?
Just remember the Titans.
It all seemed a little familiar to me when I heard underdog team, coach seeking redemption.
Isn't this Mighty Ducks?
Yeah, it sounds a lot like something I've seen before.
Could overcome
coach
addiction
Carter.
And reclaim his life.
Oh, no, that sounds like
which
Ben Affleck.
This
is you.
Oh. Is this his life story?
Here we go. Nice to see you again.
Nice to see you again.
This movie
too.
Must suck. He's pushing
great.
It so hard.
I think you were 27 when we did our first interview. Mm-hmm. You're now 47.
Like I said, you look the same. It's quite visible. 47. You can see it. Not getting away with anything.
So,
a Hollywood star is ready to talk about the fault lines of addiction in his life.
I got sober when I was younger, in 2001, which I now look at it as a sort of a JV version of what really the problem is. I was sober for a couple of years, and then
sports
I thought, you know, I want to just drink like a normal person, and I want to have wine at dinner and so on. And I was able to. I was able to for about 8 years.
He says
no,
he kept
they,
a kind
what they
of
teach
balance
you.
As he married a
you're not getting all sober on us, are you?
Watch the gazelle as he grazes through the open plain.
And his career as a director brought him a whole new dimension in Hollywood.
Ben Affleck, Argo.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
But he says he learned that sooner or later, your vulnerabilities can find you.
I started to drink more and more and more.
Plus,
and it was really hard for me to...
Calling rehab in 2001 JV? Really?
Yeah.
So you're going to rehab to kind of maybe get an idea if this stopping drinking is, you know, it's kind of practice for the real rehab. I mean, isn't JV practice or that's the step before varsity? I don't think that's what they teach there. And I also don't think this business of, I'm going to just drink like a regular person. I don't think that's anything they teach in AA either.
But he's Ben Affleck, Drew. He's not like other people.
Well, why did he think that was okay? And why did the people around him think that was okay? Because
well,
that's not okay.
I don't think
okay.
Jennifer Gardner thought that was okay.
He married her long after 2001, didn't he?
I don't know. When were they married?
Say like 2005 or... Maybe they were married longer than I thought.
He lied to her?
To accept that meant I was an alcoholic. I was like, I can just go back. I was fine before. You know, I just need to take a break. I just need to slow down. I'm okay. You know what I mean? This isn't me. And I start to drink every day. And I come home from work and I start to drink and I just sit there and drink till I pass out on the couch.
He says he had wrestled with depression for years and added there was rockiness in his marriage and the potent family history. We didn't know of a little boy whose grandmother took her life amid alcohol and barbiturates. His aunt was an addict. So was his father.
For me, seeing my dad was just he drank every day and that was just life.
Then as that got worse, that was really, really painful. And I always said, that'll never be me. I'm never going to do that. I wish he had been sober during those formative years, but what he's taught me is how important it is for me to be sober now during these formative years.
I wish I had a father.
He says his mother was his rock, but as his family broke apart, he vowed never to repeat it.
What was the hardest thing for you to be honest with yourself about?
Oh, Jesus Christ. This quest
to be. I want to, like, be a father.
I never thought I was going to get divorced. I didn't want to get divorced. I didn't want to be a divorced person. I really didn't want to be
most people don't want to.
With my children.
Pretty common.
And it upset me because it meant I wasn't who I thought I was. And that
it's about the most upsetting
so
personal event a person
so
can have, according to studies.
In yourself.
In myself.
Two times in the last 3 years, he went to rehab. Always worried that his drinking was affecting the children at the center of his life.
It is.
I really don't want my children to pay for my sins.
Or to be afraid for you.
Or to be afraid for me, which is one of the hard parts of being the child.
Is this getting really deep
or
what?
Yeah.
Well, it's Diane. Do you think,
what if my dad gets drunk? What if he does something stupid? What if he ends up on TMZ? You know, and it's on my news feed, and other kids see it.
Did you watch the movie?
Oh, really?
Did you watch
what if kids see that?
I saw a little bit. I saw a little bit of it.
I guess you did see it.
So, yes, I guess I did watch some of it. But the whole thing. I know what it looks like to be drunk. I don't need to watch anymore.
That's my dad.
A relapse broadcast around the world. And he says a wake-up call
amazing.
About the dad he is determined to be.
I took the last half of the year off, and I just got to be dad. Drive him to school, pick him up, go to the swim meet. Just that's where the parenting happens. It's in the cracks. It's in the moments where you're just taking them back from soccer, and they say something profound,
or
they talk about how they're really feeling about
it?
Something, and
they caught up really fast.
That's where you
My
get
God.
To be the parent.
Do you start
that's
drinking
the joy
again?
Of it.
That sounds awful.
And that's what I don't want to miss.
And so he wanted to make the movie about the underdog team that finds a victory
Did
on
I
the
do
other
good,
side.
Daddy?
That's a mixed race team.
Okay, it's
the
diverse.
Who comes
Very
to believe
diverse.
That what is
That's
possible
commonplace in basketball.
Is stronger than what is past.
My favorite scene in this movie, and this is a little bit of a spoiler, is where my character loses his job because it's really about consequences. And you
spoiler.
Understand how desperate he is to not have to suffer those consequences and how painful that can be.
Every time you say the word pain, your face changes.
What does it do?
God. Can I shoot myself?
What does it do somewhere?
It's very painful. Divorce is very painful, and alcoholism is very painful. They just are. You know, if there's something that your child is suffering, that's a level of pain that is just not easily gotten past, not easily forgiven, not easily forgotten. And it's hard. You're not going to avoid causing your kids pain, all pain. Pain is part of life. I take some comfort in that. I'm doing my very, very best. And I hope that
Pause
that
for a
is,
second.
You know.
I'm pretty sure I've seen almost this exact interview with Ben Affleck before. Like maybe in 2009.
You're going to see it again.
And in 2002.
Yeah.
Isn't this the same interview he gave then?
Can you please go see his movies so we don't have to see it again?
And
he doesn't really have anything real earth shaking or deep to reveal, though. He's kind of just repeating the mantra that, I fucked up.
Well, and it sort of coincides with the movie. He selected, apparently, to match with his life.
He was workshopping.
Because in real life,
inhabiting the role.
Isn't he coaching a JV team in real life?
Probably.
Is that what, I guess that part's not right. But the other part about the redemption.
You know, I mean, it has to be good enough. I have to. I don't really have a choice. I have to be.
So you had a choice in 2001 and 2009?
I don't have any more room for failure of that kind.
Really? I think you do.
Oh, wait, this is great. Robin's got some great points here.
Jennifer Garner, his ex-wife, doesn't want to talk about the marriage. That was private. But he says, what I want to say publicly and privately is thank you. Thank you for being thoughtful, considerate, responsible, and a great mom and person.
You mean the part she didn't have a choice
so
about?
So he has really begun a new path. And
new path.
Tomorrow, I'm going to bring
on, Robin,
a little
some
more
good words
of what
of
he's learned
here.
About the causes underlying the alcoholism. And also, you know, famous glamorous cover guy is going to talk what he's learned about women as well.
Oh, really?
Oh, it seems like some of the optimism is back.
Yeah. Yes, like- yes, definitely. And some of the humor. He is so funny and unpredictable, as you'll see tomorrow.
Mm. But like I say, what is possible is greater than what has passed. That was powerful.
Oh. That's where he is.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Morning, sunshine.
His drinking is very unpredictable, too, it seems.
Don't worry, we're going to drink some beer later. Yeah. Then there's no telling what we're going to do. Yeah.
Isn't there a picture of him with the... is he still with a girlfriend who's like 15 years younger than he is? With all
you mean the one who's 25 years younger?
Oh, 25.
It's the YouTube model or the Instagram model?
With the shopping cart full of alcohol and all of that?
I don't think he's with her anymore. Huh. They got engaged, didn't they?
Yeah, it was.
I generally like his movies, though. He's.
I do too.
He has good ones.
What has he done lately?
Argo, fuck yourself.
I like that much. Love Argo.
Argo's great.
Oh, Argo is great.
He's had some stinkers, though, man.
He's got a bunch coming up here in 2020. The Last Thing He Wanted, The Way Back, Deep Water, and Duel.
Those are all new.
Yeah, those are all coming out. But lately, he was in the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, which I haven't seen. I need to see it. And then there was kind
Justice
of like a
League,
couple
that
year
sucked.
Hiatus. Yeah.
Oh, The Accountant, one of the worst movies.
I didn't hate The
Accountant.
I
didn't like it.
I kind of liked The Accountant.
It was terrible. Check out The Thermometer for The Accountant.
What about Sandra Bullock movies? He should team up with her again.
Oh, I like that movie.
America's Sweetheart.
Force of Nature?
Yeah.
That was really funny.
And do that.
I think the best Sandra Bullock movies are the ones that nobody sees. All About Steve and Force of Nature.
Yes.
The other ones are just all a formula.
Right, yeah. Mm.
But I liked the Town. I thought that was good.
It was not bad. It was okay.
The Accountant.
Chasing Amy. Obviously, Dazed and Confused.
Those are great.
The Accountant, 52 on the Thermometer. Mm. Yeah, the critics.
Reindeer Games? Anybody?
What did the audience give The Accountant?
76. But they wanted to go see it. It
sounds like selective information to me.
No, you asked. I gave it to you.
All Rats. I'm like the only person in the world. I like that Smoke and Aces movie.
Oh,
I like it. I just like how everybody comes together.
Yeah,
that
was a great movie.
I love that one. People that liked it. I didn't like it. Can you check Smoked Aces?
I love Smoke and Aces.
I know. Nobody likes it, but I thought it was fun.
No, I think people did like it.
I know
Evan liked it. He was about 11, but he liked it.
He liked that
they all came together at the end.
Well, no. What I mean is they come together to all kill each other. It's amazing.
Oh, spoiler alert!
There's no spoiler there.
30% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, wow, that sucks. Brandon had some company
from the critics. Yeah.
The critics don't know shit.
Audience, please.
Oh, you want the audience score too? I didn't know. We usually do that. 62% from the audience.
I'm the majority.
You and Evan and a bunch of other people.
And me.
When he was 11.
What about the one that he was in? With the Flavor movie with.
Oh, Extract.
Extract.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's great in that.
Yeah, good in that, too.
I love that movie.
So basically, he's good in a movie if he doesn't have to carry it.
Right. Yeah.
If he's just a side, actor and a supporting actor.
Mm-hmm.
He is. That movie is so underrated
that
and so damn fun.
Yeah.
The pot smoking scene, the bong hits, where he calls the number and gets a busy signal because he's calling their phone number.
That's right.
The guy's wife, who is Mila Kunis.
Yes. Right.
Oh my God! And remember when he tries to scare him when he's doing the bong hit?
I'm really kind of a lightweight.
Not Ben Affleck. It was actually Jason Bateman. He's trying to scare him.
Oh shit!
Come on, Joe, man.
This scene was so funny.
I do get paranoid.
Okay. You familiar with a graphics bong? You ever used one before? Put your thumb right here.
Hey.
You put your right thumb here on the carburetor. Now, when I tell you to let go, I want you to let go and inhale hard. Okay, exhale.
Trudy, do you think chicks have a...
Bullshit!
This doesn't work for me. Just get my
defect in their brain when it comes to carbureting and bongs. It's a theory of mine.
Maybe. I mean... Usually it's dudes who have the
bong.
I'm
not getting anything.
Go! Inhale! Go! Go! Harder!
Now let it go. Let it go.
Let go! Inhale!
He's still going.
I love this part right here. He takes another big breath.
He still blowing smoke out.
Jesus.
It's great.
This movie's so underrated.
Is this where he scares him?
He's just stoned.
I think I was sitar. I'm gonna watch that again. Mean that you're stoned, right?
Yeah, I think
in a movie. Yeah?
Yes.
DJ Miller. I gotta watch this movie again.
Yeah.
We forgot his other just fantastic movie where he was the lead. Remember this one?
Hey, the fuck out of here.
He's in with Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, yeah. Boiler Room.
Get the fuck out of here. Geely. Take that shit to the dry cleaners.
Oh, I thought it was Boiler Room.
Boiler Room's great. Geely.
Yeah, Jamie.
Let me tell you something.
I love when he kicks a guy out of training.
Who the fuck you think you are? But I don't work like this. You got that?
How many cups of your own spit do you think you swallow every day, Larry?
Oh, God, that movie stunk.
I gotta get to the Baywatch.
Would you just shut the fuck up? You're an idiot.
But it's Bennifer.
What is it with you?
No, you.
Well, you just go in and out, right?
You're an idiot.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, you're the fuck you used to want, duck fuck.
Why don't you do me a favor and just
back? Stupid movie Geely was.
Is that maybe bad. His real personality back then?
Maybe. Remember how hyped that movie was?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember that?
Everyone laughing at it in the theater when we saw it.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, 6% on the thermometer from the critics.
My hands. Forever love is always on my mind. Waiting, wondering.
Who would write a song about Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez?
Someone who was moved by their
the
love.
World.
I'm surprised there's not a Megxit song.
Oh, let's hire him to sing one.
Oh, if only we knew a songwriter.
Do you remember that he and J-Lo worked on a movie, and Affleck took out full-page ads and all these trade magazines? How wonderful she was to work with! And that was before they were seeing each other.
All of her husbands seemed to kick her ass, kiss her ass, except for Mark Anthony, really didn't.
That's why
he's jealous.
He married her twice, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true. He did.
And, of course, the great Casper Smart. I don't think he kissed her ass either.
Well, all right. Maybe that theory's really off.
Wait, Casper Smart has a new famous girlfriend.
He does?
He does.
Is he dancing for them?
I swear to God. And his head's shaved and he has a stupid mustache.
Still?
Time when lots of people thought that Ben Affleck was just lucky to be friends with Matt Damon. But he's proved himself to be a very, very talented
Casper
individual.
Smart.
A Ben Affleck. A Ben Affleck went out with Jennifer Lopez. Oh, oh. A Ben Affleck and J-Lo were all over.
Man! What is it, sweetie?
Ben Affleck is naked in my bed.
Ooh, looks like the Tooth Fairy was extra happy with you.
Buenos dias, my love!
Good morning, baby.
You have to get out of here. Jennifer Lopez is going to kick my ass again.
He's not going anywhere. Ben and I were up all night making love.
What? Ben Affleck's booed.
Oh. Should we tell him the news?
What news?
I think we should tell him.
It's all right?
It's all right.
It's all right.
We're getting married.
Oh, balls.
Casper Smart's new girlfriend is Johnny Manziel's ex-wife.
That seems perfect.
Doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Bree Tiesi.
She's hot.
She's very hot. Casper Smart's hot.
Is he?
With J-Lo, yeah. He's a dancer. they started posting pictures together.
Oh, so it's Instagram official.
Yes. Ben Affleck, you know what? Just an observation about Ben Affleck. I think he needs to do things before he tells us how to do them. I mean, he should do them himself and then tell us how to do them and how to live and give us all the answers.
You practice what he preaches?
Something like that. Maybe practice it for a while, because it seems to me maybe 2 years ago, wasn't he telling us that he was going to demand a rider where there were equal women and equal men on every movie?
Matt Damon, too.
I'm sure he's gone through with that.
I think, Mark, did you look up the new movie to make sure there's 50% females and 50% men and people of color? And
see, the movie's called The Way Back. The director is a man.
Wow.
What?
It's one man. It was written by a guy named Brad. I assume that's a
man. That doesn't sound good.
The music is by someone named Rob. That sounds like a man. Cinematographer is Edward.
What?
Editor is David. That sounds like a man.
Oh, holy crap.
Produced by Gordon.
This is total bullshit.
Gavin. Ravi. And a Jennifer. So there's one.
Out of nine?
Yeah.
That's not 50%.
Out of nine, yeah.
Can is there another new movie we can check?
Sure.
Did you check them already?
I didn't check Ben's.
Okay, you
check
lied to me.
Check Ben's. Maybe he makes up for it.
I could go through Matt's.
Either one.
Go fuck yourself.
No, go through Ben's.
Ben Affleck, okay. Let's see what the next one's going to be.
I think Ben should also maybe, I don't know, I think it's a bad idea when you've just stopped drinking to start talking about it and you know,
you
how
you've
conquered
that
it
for a while.
And when you've failed a few times, better to just, you know, get the coin and get the thing every year.
Yeah,
and
just do it on the down low.
Maybe after 7 or 8 years, you should. I mean, because I don't object to people talking about it, but when you have these very public failures, it seems that you're better off waiting.
Ben has a movie coming out in November called Deep Water.
Ben!
Directed by Adrian.
Okay.
Could be a woman.
Wait, Adrian?
Could be a woman.
That could be a girl.
Okay, hang on. Adrian Lane.
Adrian Lane?
Any relation?
No.
This person's 78, so I doubt it's a girl.
What? That sounds like an old person.
Let's be positive.
Name.
Well, he's been in the business, is my point. Adrian. That's a male spelling.
Right? Adrian Lane. Did you say director?
And it says his. Yeah.
Oh, it's his.
So, screenplay by Zach Helm and Sam Levinson.
Wait, that's three guys and no girls.
Music by Marcello.
Not Marcella?
Marcello. Cinematography. This is a name I can't pronounce. Some Danish, and it's a guy.
What happened to the writer?
I was excited there for a second.
5-0.
Producers, Arnon. That's an Israeli businessman.
That's 6.
Steven.
7.
Garrett.
8.
Guyman.
9.
Guyman could
be Guyman?
A woman.
Guyman.
Named Guyman.
Let's see here, Guyman. So stretch, Judy.
How do you spell it?
G-U-Y-M-O-N.
M-O-N. Okay.
They use the pronoun he in this write-up form.
Oh, so that's 9.
Ben, a guy named Ben.
10.
Anthony.
11.
But you know what? It's based on a book by Patricia Highsmith.
Okay.
Oh, see,
that's
they
encouraging.
Could not have it
one female.
Her.
I mean, she's dead, but.
Who's the.
The one female involved
who
is
the top,
a dead female.
Good job.
The top 4 or 5 top actors in the movie, or actresses.
Go back to that.
If you would, please.
Deep Water has Ben Affleck, Ana de Armas.
Why doesn't she have the lead? Why don't they put her up top?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Ana de Armas and then
maybe they are together because a married couple is falling out of love with each other. That's what it's
seems like a Ben Affleck movie.
There's something named Tracy Letts.
Oh, okay,
that's a guy.
What's the chance of that?
Rachel Blanchard.
Oh,
it's a 2 out of 4.
That's what we fell in love with.
50-50.
Little Rel is in it. That's
who?
Little Rel, the comedian. Black comedian.
3 out of 5 guys.
Finn, a guy named Finn.
4 out of 6.
A guy named Dash.
Dash.
5 out of 7.
Finn and Dash.
A Jacob.
6 out of 8.
And a Kristen.
That's 6 out of 9.
That's all of them.
I don't believe this writer is
59.
Is being used.
Now, he does have a movie coming up with Matt Damon in it.
Okay, well, let's see. They
both
have
on the writer,
they
right?
Both have writers, so it's impossible that this movie would have less than 50-50.
It's called The Last Duel. It's going to be out at the end of the year.
I want to know that
directed
we
directed by Ridley Scott, who's a guy. But a great director, so I'm getting excited.
Boy. Mm-hmm. I think he's got writers, too, so we're probably in good shape here.
Produced by Jennifer Fox.
Okay,
oh.
There we go.
Ridley Scott. Kevin Walsh and Nicole somebody.
Okay, that's
50.
So
two
far.
And two. 2 and 2.
So far. Starring, do you want the stars? Mm-hmm. Wow, sure. this movie sounds pretty sweet.
Yeah, the cinematographers and all that stuff.
Cinematographer is a name I can't pronounce, and it's a he.
3 to 2.
It's based on a book by a guy.
Uh-oh. 4 to 2.
But it was written by Ben, Matt, and Nicole.
Hmm. Okay.
Who's
okay.
Also the producer.
2/3.
So that's everybody. But it's Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Adam Driver, Jodie Comer.
That's a girl.
Anybody else?
She's from Killing Eve and Harriet Walker.
Is she getting equal billing with Ben and Matt and Adam Driver?
She's 3rd.
Wait, that's Dame Harriet to you.
Who?
Dame Harriet.
Who is she?
She's a dame, though.
Ooh.
just not really impressed with this writer he talked about at the Golden Globes.
No, he's full of shit.
To me, that he's not really, he doesn't really have a writer.
I wish you weren't a liar.
Well, I was reading a story about that writer, and it pointed out that it's like his, remember they, him and Matt have that production Greenlight,
yep,
Project Greenlight thing?
Mm-hmm.
It's basically somebody from Project Greenlight said it for on their behalf.
Well, somebody wasn't really counting.
I don't think anybody asked, Matt.
Just a struggling actor with a thick.
I read the funniest story, because we were talking about this earlier. It's like, didn't Ben Affleck say that? And we were looking for the audio, and we couldn't find it. And then you found the statement.
Mm-hmm.
And Glamour Magazine did a story about it. And I start reading the story, and I'm like, where does Glamour Magazine come from? Because this story is just brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really read the magazine. You read it, Trudy?
I picked up a Glamour magazine.
Is it a good magazine? Is it a fair magazine?
It's a pretty good magazine, you know.
Listen to the story.
On point.
They have a little build up, and then they say, to be fair, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are easy to pick on. They're unimaginably privileged people who've worked and prospered in the film industry longer than Kendall and Kylie have been alive.
Now, wait a sec. We just watched that whole piece on Ben, and everybody in his family was an alcoholic.
Damon especially.
And they lived in Southie.
Damon has tried and failed to contribute to movements that, quite frankly, aren't to his commandeer, and thus has become somewhat a poster child for the negative effects of male feminism.
What's male?
In December, Damon came under fire for weighing in on the Me Too movement in an astonishingly tone-deaf way. In truth,
but he was, do you remember what he said?
I do.
He was right.
I feel like they have mischaracterized what he said. In true not all men form, he claimed we should stop paying attention to the men accused of sexual misconduct and instead recognize the men who haven't been. Yes,
check
Matt,
your misogyny.
That's not what he said.
He said there are degrees, and someone pinching someone's butt is not the same as someone raping people. Yeah. That's what he was murdered for.
Yeah.
Yes, Matt Damon, you're a real hero for not raping a gaggle of women. Good job on doing the bare minimum requirements of being a person.
Oh,
after
no.
being roasted on social media for days, he later apologized, but the criticism was justified. Remember, he doesn't exactly have a clean record on diversity in Hollywood. The actor also encountered controversy when he butted heads with producer Effie Brown on his show Project Greenlight in a conversation that was largely perceived to be racially insensitive. He talked over Brown, a woman of color. While she was speaking on diversity in film, pointing out that the only person of color in a particular script was a prostitute who gets smacked by a white pimp, he cuts her off defensively, saying, when we're talking about diversity, you do it in the casting of the film, not in the casting of the show. He literally tried to mansplain and whitesplain diversity to a black woman. Again, after meeting much deserved heat online, he eventually apologized. Oh, my God. It seems Damon does the right thing only after women and people of color yell at him online. His instinct is not to listen or learn from his mistakes. It's to fight back and cover his ass. Wow.
Well, now he'll just be quiet forever. And
I don't want that to happen.
Then they
never
go on,
help anything.
They go on to Ben. Affleck himself has been accused of sexual misconduct, and his brother Casey Affleck has also. Ben has never commented directly on his brother's accusations, nor has he publicly denounced his behaviors. But does everyone have to publicly denounce their brother's behavior? Is that something you have to do?
No.
But post-Weinstein, he has made some good decisions, like donating the residuals from his Miramax movies to charity. And rather than outright denying the accusation against him, like almost every other accused man, he told Colbert he didn't remember the encounter in question, but he believes the accuser and absolutely apologizes.
Come back.
It's pretty entertaining watching two grown men perform the greatest social experiment of our time right in front of our eyes for free. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, so much for the writer.
Article's kind of fired up.
Jill Gutowitz. Boy, I hope she never writes about me. Jeez. Heads up for Jill Gutowitz.
Maybe it'll be positive.
Man, I don't think so.
What?
Maybe I'm wrong.
I'm going to look at her Instagram.
Her Instagram.
I'm thinking, though, what they assigned her to do was to come up with something the readers would.
Oh, women's plane.
It's a nice picture with her, or with her and her girlfriend.
Why is there no women's splaining? Why is it only men's splaining?
Very cute.
Don't women sometimes explain things to men?
When does that happen?
No. I don't know. What do you think about it? just heard somebody talking about it.
Women'splaining?
No, I'm serious. I've never heard the term women'splain. I've never heard it.
Maybe because it's usually described as bossy or nagging.
That's true.
Which is sexist.
What?
That's what they say.
Who's they?
I don't know. I don't like them, though.
It's a very fun Instagram.
They're pretty harsh.
That Jill has.
Okay.
Well, she's younger than I expected her to be from the tone of the article.
Mm-hmm. Hey, what's, Mark, what's this article about On the Run from Hamas? He's now accused of a nose job fraud. What the hell is this story?
It's a great story. It's funny. Were you down here, Trudy? I'm just going to put this in front of Drew and hopefully he sees it because it's a little, it's a couple weeks old.
Right.
Read it. It's a great story.
Grandson of a Hamas founder converted to Christianity and came out as gay in Canada. Oh, my God, that's funny.
And he's also he's a bit of a con artist.
He went on CNN saying he feared deportation, claiming he'd face certain death. Now, the latest chapter of a strange journey, he's in the Snohomish County Jail, accused of signing a bad check for $10,995 to pay for a nose job.
Your new nose looks great.
This is the grandson of the founder of Hamas.
I know. This huge terrorist organization.
And this guy's scamming people for a nose job.
That's a really good thing to scam somebody for. Though,
kind of like his crime is better than his grandfather's.
Yeah.
Junaid Salama, a.k.a. John Calvin, told an employee at the Linwood Plastic Surgery Clinic he wanted the rhinoplasty procedure ASAP. According to police reports filed in court, when the employee informed him he'd have to prepay for the expedited service, he replied that wouldn't be a problem. 2 days later, returned with a cashier's check. That's money in the bank, right?
Yeah, you would think.
Except that the check bounced.
What? A cashier's check?
When contacted, Salama reportedly said the problem must have been with the clinic's bank because he was good on his end.
That's a good defense.
I love his confidence.
A fraud investigator with Salama's supposed bank had other news. Salama was never authorized to issue a check, and he allegedly was behind other forgeries involving the bank.
Why you look different?
He explained to CNN Money reporter that his grandfather was a co-founder of Hamas, a militant Islamic fundamentalist group that the U.S. government views as a terrorist organization. But he said he renounced the group and worried he'd be subject to potentially fatal punishment if he returned.
How about that?
What he did is offensive to honor and to religion, Jihad Salama told a reporter at the time. And the family has the right to retaliate against him. An attempt to stay in Canada created a GoFundMe that raised $2,600. And launched a change.org petition that drew 6,500 supporters. Salama told Vice News he escaped to the U.S. where the Massachusetts Immigration Court allowed him to stay. He shared his future plans with the Vice News reporter. He'll find an apartment, see about going to school at New York University, and get very long and expensive therapy.
Gay.
He said he owes tens of thousands of dollars in legal fees. I've literally been to hell and back, so it's going to take a while for me to rebuild my life.
Literally.
Somewhere along the way, got caught up in a series of fraud schemes. In April 2018, he went on a spending spree at a Bloomingdale's department store in Chicago. In a civil lawsuit, the company alleged Salama used bogus checks to buy jewelry and accessories worth more than $100,000. He immediately returned most of what he bought and used store credit to buy another set of extravagant items, including four watches, two rings worth $10,000 each, a $15,000 diamond bracelet, and a $40,000 diamond necklace. Wow. He was accused of a similar theft in Louisiana. There, he used a fraudulent check to buy more than $45,000 worth of valuables, including a diamond engagement ring, a Rolex watch, a set of cufflinks. My. Oh, what a mess this guy is. What he did? Oh, yeah, I covered this.
How's his nose job look, though? Is there a before and after?
It's great.
It doesn't look like there's anything wrong with his nose. I don't know what he...
Your new nose looks great.
I don't know.
That reminded me
of
something.
Shame, though, that his grandfather, the founder of Hamas, can't see that his son is gay or his grandson is gay and maybe soft him up a little bit and realize people are different.
Yeah, calls it offensive to the religion.
Yeah.
Not fair. so stupid. That reminded me of this American Greed I watched. I saw the situation American Greed. Mm-hmm. And so I was going through, old episodes because American Greed's a great show.
I watched that. It's pretty amazing.
It's got Stacey Keach, who has an incredible voice.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Stacey Keach?
Yeah, Stacey Keach is...
What did he do?
He was in... Was he Mike Hammer?
Yes.
Among other things, but he's got big balls.
Oh, he wasn't the subject. He does the voice. Oh, no, I thought you were saying he was the subject of one.
No, he does the voiceovers.
Oh, okay.
Of all of them. And that's one thing. When I hear American Greed, if I hear anything, I know it's American Greed, just from his delivery and his voice.
Uh-huh.
So they're talking about this kid who lives in Oklahoma. He's 16. He's a skinny runt. He plays tennis. He's kind of weaselly looking. And this kid is like the most spoiled brat. He has all this shit. He has 25 pairs of expensive shoes, Gucci, and, you know, of course, the most expensive tennis shoes. And he has watches. He's just a lunatic. And it turns out
that's what I'm talking about.
His grandmother has dementia.
Oh, boy.
And he's stealing money from her.
It's just, yeah, okay.
And he takes her to ATMs, puts her card in, punches her code in, gets the cash, goes shopping, dumps grandma off.
Dumb question. Does he have parents around? Why is
he thinking? Yes, he has parents around who also give him shit all the time.
Do they live with grandma?
No, he doesn't live with grandma.
So they think he's, oh, it's so nice. He loves
grandma.
He's going to go hang out with grandma again.
He stole. Okay, and the other thing is, he's got a Rolex. He's got, you know, beautiful
watches.
I don't
wonder where that came from.
He has, wait.
Hi, grandma.
Louis Vuitton luggage. He has, and it's like, wait, how is a high school kid buying all this crap? Are you kidding? And it turns out he stole $85,000 from grandma.
Oh,
I'm going to take you and get you a Louis Vuitton purse.
And spent it all.
Wow.
Then he arranges this thing through school, I think, where he's going to study abroad. And he's gone for 6 weeks, and he ends up traveling Europe. And he spends some insane amount of money on grandma's credit card.
On the other side of the ocean.
So after the $85,000, the prosecutor says, you know, if you keep going down this path, you're going to be in big trouble. And then only to have him go on this. They don't prosecute.
How do they catch him?
Grandma's credit card comes in and they got to pay it.
And they went, oh, okay. The parents.
Grandma's not in Europe. What the hell's going on, grandma?
So like, this is a dumb question. Is that a crime? I mean, is that a provable crime?
It's a fraud.
Well, I know it's fraud, but can they prove that? Because it's grandma was with him.
She wasn't with him in Europe.
Yeah.
She wasn't with him
in Europe.
Yeah.
So they prosecute him, and he gets probation.
So he should have taken her to Europe, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he should have taken her to
Europe. Taking grandma to Europe.
So he gets probation, and then he finishes high school, goes to Oklahoma, where he immediately starts. And, oh, by the way, he's posting on Instagram all the time about all the shit he wants. And, you know, he's just like a designer clothes everything idiot. And every time they show him, too, he's wearing something incredibly expensive. It's so stupid. It's like, what is this? His dad runs a small newspaper. How does this brat have all this money? It's just insane.
I am worthless.
He's got to have an Instagram, right? Do you remember his
name? Yeah, an Instagram. Alan Hruby, Hruby, I think. Wait till you see what a weasel he is. You won't believe what a weasel he looks like he is.
Oh, he does look like Kip.
Don't give up the ending yet.
I'm not. Yeah.
So he goes to Oklahoma University, and he starts basically shopping like a madman, and he takes his friends to dinner, and he does this, and he does that. And then one weekend, he goes to the Texas-Oklahoma football game, checks in at Rich Carlton, you know, a Rich Carlton suite for him and his roommate.
Wow.
And they have girls up there, and, you know, Rich Carlton, geez, who stays at Rich Carlton? And he charges
Get
on a credit card.
Sour cream and some onion shopping chips with some dip, man. Some beef jerky, some peanut butter. Get some Häagen-Dazs ice cream bars, a whole lot of hot. Make sure chocolate. Gotta
That's not it. Kind of the material he was into, though.
Hmm.
He's on his way back to Oklahoma University, where he had posted, somehow when he was in Texas, he posted a picture from where he lives of, hey, not a bad view of the stadium, which makes it appear that he was in Oklahoma the whole time.
Ah, okay.
And so then what do you know? They find out that his mother, father, and sister were all shot to death in their home.
Oof, wow.
And he shows up when the police are there, and they said he was very incurious. He didn't even go over the crime tape. He didn't even ask anyone what happened. And then they said, will you come down to the station? We got to talk to you. And he goes in there, and he's acting like, whoa, what happened? What's going on? He doesn't seem to know anything. He doesn't even seem worried about it. And then they tell him that they've been killed. And all of a sudden, he's like, what? You know, his hand over his eyes.
How bad was it?
It was pretty weak, I thought. They said he was hyperventilating and all this craziness.
Super easy.
So they find out that, oh, wait a second, he's on probation. And somehow in the course while he's there, because he's there for a long time, they determine that, hey, he was just in Texas at this football game at the Ritz-Carlton. Therefore, he left the state of Oklahoma without contacting his probation officer. So he's under arrest and they put him in jail. Then they proceed to get a search warrant for his dorm room where they find a 9mm gun of his father's that had been reported missing like 2 weeks earlier. His father had called the police and said, hey, then my 9mm's gone. And I think my son probably stole it.
Oh, jeez. Drew him a picture.
So they find the gun. They also find all this other shit he's bought. I mean, he's just a madman. And they pull him in, and he ends up admitting that he killed them.
Wow.
And he owed... He tried to blame it on a loan shark.
Yeah, I remember. We've talked about this before. I remember this story.
Yeah, and they said, oh, really? A loan shark is going to kill your family over a $3,000 loan? He killed them to pay the loan shark.
Wait.
That's why he killed them. He owed the loan shark $3,000.
And I think last time we talked about this, didn't we think, wouldn't they just give him the $3,000? Regardless of the money he stole from grandma?
Well, he'd already stolen so much money.
But a loan shark, you would think.
I don't know. I would think.
Wiener, this guy.
He had started gambling in addition to all his other expensive habits.
Oh, my God. What a waste of skin.
Yeah, he lost $3,000 to some bookie and borrowed money from a loan shark to pay the bookie. Then I think he gambled more, lost more. And so it was just like he had to kill his family. He had no choice at that point.
Jesus.
No choice.
God. Is he? He's in prison, right?
For life, yeah. Three life sentences.
Oh, good.
Why did he have to kill everyone in his family?
Because he would have to share the money with his sister if he didn't kill her.
Okay.
Doesn't kill mom, she gets the money when he kills dad. Yeah. If he kills mom and not dad, dad keeps his money. And he wanted the house and the cars, I guess.
Jesus.
He thought he was going to get the house and the cars after all?
Well, he would have if they hadn't caught him.
And where's grandma in all this?
Grandma? Well, let's see. The mother's parents were at court, and he didn't apologize. He had a chance to apologize. He didn't.
Oh, well.
If anything, he apologized to himself because now he can't buy anything. Probably sorry. That's probably the only reason he's sorry about anything is because he can't go out and shop.
Yeah, they had just recently cut him off financially 100%.
Oh, that's... Yeah, I forgot about
they
that.
They searched his dorm room and found a bunch of stolen checks, too, from places, from people.
Grandma.
Yeah.
You know what? He's the reason I don't like social media. Because his imprint on it is so distasteful.
Yeah.
It is.
Seeing him, you know, like mugging for cameras with people. And
all his stupid hashtags about he loves McDonald's.
Hey,
it's 1 in the morning and all I want is McDonald's.
Yeah.
And, you
That's
know,
relatable.
He wants a certain kind of shoes and, you know, he complains about his parents giving him limits and stupid things like, I know,
Trudy,
it's
can you
so
see his
moronic.
Pictures?
Yeah, I see that he has his...
He's got the Eiffel Tower in the background, and what is this, an Omega watch?
So, yeah, it's his arm with the Omega watch on it and the Eiffel Tower in the background. His.
Are you on his Instagram, Mark?
No,
Amazingly staged photo.
Daily Mail's got a bunch of them. And then here he is sitting in a... He's in a dealership posing in this car. I don't
is
know.
Is that a Lambo?
Isn't that picture stupid?
Yeah.
With that, with no door on the side?
Well, it's got
Lamborghini
suicide.
Doors.
Yeah, not, yeah, Gullwings.
Oh, of course. Well,
of course.
Maybe he just joined Amway, so he's shopping for stuff that he's going to buy in the future when he has all the success.
How about this move, this famous move where you take a picture of, hey, I'm just having this to drink, but he's got his Louis Vuitton wallet in the frame?
Hey, that's a tip. Maybe I'll use that.
How many 18-year-olds need Louis Vuitton wallets?
How many 18-year-olds give a shit?
No, that's what I mean. None.
I think there are quite a few.
It's very shallow.
Yeah, more than you would think.
Yeah.
But that's probably a $100 wallet.
Very shallow.
Yeah.
Lalo.
I don't understand either because his parents don't seem like they're like that or didn't.
No, they actually... They seem down to earth in the pictures, but, you know, just looking at pictures.
Such a piece of shit kid.
Hey, who are the hotties on Channel 4 that they keep?
I don't know. Inside Edition. Should we back it up?
Well, they keep showing these two attractive girls in bathing suits, and I'm just kind of going,
are they TikTok stars or
they must
something?
Be sisters, right?
For some reason they're in the
twins.
News. Oh, it's a mom and a daughter. It's like the
hottest.
It's the hottest mom ever.
Let's hear this.
Which is which? These two gorgeous women look like sisters.
Wow.
They regularly take selfies together, posting photos in bikinis and fun dance videos. But you may be shocked to learn they're actually mother and daughter. Can you guess who's who? Not so easy.
Yeah, the one on the right.
I'm Jolene, the mom.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Melanie, the daughter.
Mom Jolene is 43 years old, and daughter Melanie is 19. That's a 24-year age difference.
When I say, like, mom, like, in a store, they'll be like, mom, I thought you guys were sisters. And I'm like, oh, no, that's my mom.
Jolene is an elementary school teacher outside San Francisco, and Melanie is a college student. They wear the same size, making clothes easy to share.
Wait, are those my jeans? Yeah.
They also hit the gym together multiple times a week to stay in shape.
Nice.
Did mom thin out the eyebrows a little bit?
Jolene and Melanie say
I was looking up at her
mistaken
face.
For sisters because they really do consider themselves
Why is mom doing cheerleading moves?
It's TikTok.
Who would you rather nail? I disqualify myself because I done them both.
You gotta stop cock blocking your mom.
She was beautiful, man.
She's
both of them. Yeah. How old is the daughter?
19.
Yeah, they're both beautiful.
Pretty, pretty amazing.
I'm worthless.
Wow, are we still number 88 on the charts? Is that possible?
Anything's possible. Why just lie? Say we're number 8.
We were ahead of Rudy Giuliani yesterday.
Who else?
You have had a big fucking head lately. Why don't you come back to reality?
I don't know if that's that big a deal. Oh, there's another.
It's Rudy Giuliani is in the news every day.
Yeah, but no one wants to hear his podcast.
Oh, there's some assholes out there. They better want to hear it because he's only a few slots behind us and people want to hear us. Somebody wants to hear
Who are his guests? Has he had some guests on?
Don't know.
Yeah, Bernard Carrick on after he got out.
Oh, probably.
That'd be the hot guest to have, right?
I found a podcast I'm dying to listen to because I heard a preview of it. It's called The Missing Crypto Queen. I started telling you about it yesterday, Drew. This lady that combines the wonderful worlds of cryptocurrency with the even more wonderful world of Ponzi schemes and multi-level marketing. The lady just made one up, and she is missing. Nobody knows where she is. And there's estimates that she had people that invested anywhere from $4 to $15 billion into a fake, bullshit, made up, no blockchain cryptocurrency that she made. Cannot wait to listen to the whole thing.
Oh, we're number 96.
What?
I was looking at yesterday. We were 88 for the day, which is pretty good. We average 88. We're ahead of Guys We Fucked.
All right.
Back it's hard. The 90s.
It's hard to beat Guys We Fucked. That's a good show.
Well, haven't they been running out of source material, though?
That's been the theory lately. Yeah. And
banging.
Going in the over past 100. Who are we ahead of? Let's see. David Chuck. I don't know who that is. Anthony Jeselnik.
Gay.
Whore.
Fucking shit.
Wait, well, I'm sorry, what?
Whore. Ible Decisions, which is about whoring around.
Well, that sounds like a fun one.
It's chicks, so it's hot.
Nice, yeah.
What's the Bill and Wendy show? That keeps showing up.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
The Woody Show, we're ahead of them. Kevin, formerly Kevin and Bean, number 116. We're ahead of RuPaul. Legion of Skanks, The Big Bonfire with Big J. Okerson. Idiot with Chris Hardwick. Rudy Giuliani drops to 123.
Oh.
Kid Craddock Morning Show, they're supposed to be the greatest ever. 124. Bob and Sherry, 125. Bob's the 70-year-old guy in the leather, who wears leather.
Oh, that's
leather.
Right. Yeah, he's cool.
Really cool. Let's see, what else? Rick and Bubba Show, that's a syndicated show.
You said Bill and Wendy?
Yes.
Bill and Wendy used to be the show on WGN.
Oh, it's got to be a pretty hip show then. Preston and
Steve.
They
were the midday show, so I guess they're just doing a podcast now.
Oh, they're all cozy there.
Preston and Steve, MMR, former Greater Media show. They're 148. Colbert's 150. Ari Shaffir, we're 57 slots ahead of Ari Shaffir. Doug Stanhope, 158. I never look in front of us, by the way. I never want to see who's ahead of us because they don't matter. They're just lucky. TJ Miller's 168.
Good for you.
Penn is 170, is in Penn and Teller.
Wow.
So look at that.
How could he not have more pull?
I don't know. Oh, Artie Lang's halfway house has fallen down to 181.
Well, he probably hasn't done an episode.
He's been touring.
He's had Anthony Cumia on.
Yeah, he's coming here.
Oh, Artie's coming here?
Yeah.
Well, let's get him bumped up.
And the Bill and Wendy show, I think, is new, too.
Oh, new podcast. Oh, so they're getting the new accounts.
Doing a very deep dive on them. Yeah. They have 12,800 likes on Facebook.
Okay.
They got moved to WLS.
Bill! Hello, Bill!
They're on WLS?
I guess, yeah.
That's such a great logo.
Okay.
What, Bill and Wendy?
Bill and Wendy.
It's terrible. I could have done a better one.
Oh, I didn't even...
See, here's the Valentine's Day show. Bill has a new trend that'll take America by storm.
What is
it? Dot, dot, dot. Maybe.
I gotta know.
Wendy gives us her pitch for a new reality show. Living rooms with plastic-covered furniture. Grab some flapjacks, and don't forget to mention the melon garlish.
Oh, sounds like a great one.
That's clever. Let's see, Bill and Wendy. Yeah, that's not my favorite logo.
Sweeping the broom challenge under the rug.
Well, they did the broom challenge.
Is holding hands with Justin Timberlake considered cheating? Another exciting round of Bill and Wendy's Flavor It game. And that's not supposed to be in my food. 3 exclamation points.
What is...
I said Bill's wiener?
What is the broom challenge?
Oh, you don't know about the broom challenge?
No, you don't
it's
need to
wonderful.
Know.
My dad so did you it. Take a broom, you go yes. to De La Salle. No. You try to make... there was a thing that got posted online that today's the only day you can make... That was a good joke. Today was the only day you can make a broom stand up, which wasn't true. You could make it stand up on any days, but it's just to make a broom... Like a sweeping broom stand up.
So what?
Dumbest
who cares?
Thing possibly ever.
Well, exactly. Bill and Wendy don't care because they're sweeping the broom challenge under the rug.
Oh, I see.
I called my dad on his birthday. It was the other day. And I said, hey, what's going on? What are you doing for your birthday? I'm doing the broom challenge.
Oh, edgy.
And then he posted.
Seriously?
Yes. Wait. And then I look on his Facebook and he's got two brooms and a mop.
Wow. He overachieved.
That's my dad.
Is he bored?
It was his birthday. And today's his birthday.
Oh, birthday.
Happy birthday.
Can you bleep that? We don't do birthdays.
I will.
What? No, it's
I know. We can wish
my Marcus. Neighbor.
If there's a second wish, then please bleep it. Just one. Because we'll allow one. You know what? I was just looking for something. Earlier in the show, I was talking about the De La Salle hazing thing.
Yes.
And I meant to mention something because I thought it was so bizarre. And it was comments about the story. 5 18-year-olds who are being charged with assault and battery, misdemeanor assault and battery, for penetrating the broom. Or just call it assault and battery. But they didn't penetrate, but they were prodding somebody's buttocks with a broom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And whether they were nude or not, we don't know. You need to ask ML. Anyway. Two 16-year-olds were charged with misdemeanor, juveniles. So I get to the end of the story, and I notice there's one comment there. It's really long, and I go, oh, what the hell is this? And it's Louise, who says, what a mess. Had these rancid parents just cooperated with police from the beginning, their kids might not be facing these charges. They could have spoken to police with an attorney present if they felt it necessary. The refusal to speak to police reeks of organized crime mentality. It was a disastrous miscalculation. I'm not surprised, as many of these parents are children of organized crime families. You reap what you sow.
What? It's quite the broad brush.
I was surprised. I'm like, what? And then let's see. I doubt this case.
Forget about it.
Is this over? As is stated here, as in larger cases have shown, the beginning is not the end and is always worse than we will ever know. Legal says, insular, self-righteous Catholic culture, its own worst enemy. It's a shame. Got a lot of comments now. Give him a break. It was just some good Christian boys raised by good Christian Republican family values having some fun.
Shot at Republicans.
How is it that the president still has his job? He was aware of everything. Why do people insist on commenting on stories that have nothing to do with politics about politics? Have you noticed that phenomenon? It's so stupid.
They need to win.
Well, Catholicism at its finest. Parents screw this investigation up and ruin their own kids' lives. Principal must resign.
Are you serious?
Wait, I thought our wealthy daddies and their attorneys took care of this. Hazing could be something like requiring newbies to sing in front of the team. See the old movie Paper Lion. Or bringing soft drinks to upperclassmen. It seems the scandals involving Catholic prep schools have a certain sexual theme.
So their problem is hazing's okay. Just make it, you know, clean and fun.
Bringing soft drinks to upperclassmen. What, were they hazed in the 1940s, maybe?
Yes. Yeah, that's what they're
saying. Really?
Let's see your penis.
It's not even acceptable hazing to me.
No, no.
Ridiculous. Okay, so what's going on this weekend? I guess nothing since football's over.
Yeah, nothing.
It's the XFL. I'm sorry. What am I thinking?
Yeah, the XFL.
Well, good for you.
I don't know. I still live in the sick house. Potty training's going on. It's going swimmingly.
Oh, is it? With really?
She's not having any accidents. Yay. We did not want to do it now, but she was very insistent.
What?
She's nuts, man. She screams her head off like she doesn't want to wear a diaper. She's like, fine, we'll potty train you. Took a massive dump today with me. That was fun.
Actual audio?
She's not paying attention. She also, when she when Annie
you
flushed,
found the super nanny drops.
I found Annie.
When she flushes the toilet, no matter what's in there, she goes bye, blows it a kiss.
It's adorable. Mike cute. Clark used to do that.
Yeah, he did. That's right. That's right. So that's my weekend. Just potty training. Actually, my phone. Julie.
Actually, no.
Julie's doing most of the work.
Mike Clark used to yell, "Swallow it."
Yeah.
Oh my God! Swallow that's right. It.
So violent.
It's crazy.
Wow. Swallow it.
All right. Well, everybody have a great weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. With is Dave Mason on Monday?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm
confirmed.
Psyched.
Can confirm.
Cool. And thanks to Ted Nugent, who's at DTE Energy Music Theater on August the 15th. Tickets on sale today. You're probably listening on Friday, 21st, right?
Right.
Friday the 21st? Right. Yeah, that's right.
Yes. And, oh, so. Bob Saget next Thursday as well. I know we'll be able to...
Bob Saget!
to tell you more
rolling
about
that with
then.
Bob Saget again.
Yep.
Okay. Bob's usually a great interview. Mm-hmm. Looking forward to it. And we'll, of course, get the full story on Lori Loughlin.
Right, that's
and all
right.
her cheating ways.
I predict there's going to be a... No, would he have a no Lori Loughlin question?
I sent you all the stuff. You guys saw everything.
A week.
There were no restrictions.
I think all we have to do is ask him about being asked about Lori Loughlin, and then I'm sure he gets asked quite a bit.
He's a comedian. He's quick on his feet.
Yeah, he's pretty cool, actually.
Pretty a very like vulgar Bob. Joke.
Right.
Does have a few of those. All right, so everybody have a great weekend. And meanwhile, you can like us on Facebook or you can follow us on Facebook. You could do both. And you could also write us a nice little review on you could write us a review on iTunes. And you can push the donate bar and donate money. Or you could use the Amazon portal, which is very helpful. And how is Amazon doing? How are we doing with Amazon lately?
Swimmingly.
Like better than usual? Same?
It was 2 months ago and slowed down a little bit, but it's, I think, on average higher. It's up year to year.
Okay. Well, we appreciate it all. Yeah. We'll
see ya.
Well, good for you.
Coach Cotta, you got to take this gig. I can't control these kids no how.
I don't know, dog. I own a bunch of sporting goods stores. And my kid's playing for your biggest rival. I gotta think about this. After all, I am Coach Carter and
the next day.
Look, Miss Principal, I take this gig, but you gotta promise me total support for my unconventional coaching methods. I need progress reports on all my players.
Whatever you want, Coach Carter, I'll be giving it to you.
Later at practice.
I'm your new coach, Coach Carter.
Now who's this uppity all dressed up?
Excuse me, what's your name?
That'd be Cruz.
That'd be 250 suicides. That'd be 500 suicides for swearing and
I quit. I'd rather deal drugs anyway.
I quit too. These are both.
Coach Carter, that'd be our two leading scorers. All quitting and
then we'll have two new leading scorers. because you brothers are going to respect my ass. After all, I am Coach Carter. Now, here's your contract. Look at it, read it, think about it, and sign it if you want to play for Coach Carter.
I don't see no signing bonus, Coach Carter.
That'll be 10,000 suicides and 1 million push-ups.
Damn.
Make it 20,000 suicides and 2 million push-ups. And as for the contract, you get a 2.3 grade point average, attend all classes, sit in the front row, and y'all wear a coat and tie for all road games.
Coach Carter, my family can't afford no coat and ties.
That'll be 500,000 suicides and 2 million push-ups. Rest of you, I want your contract signed if you want to be a part of Coach Carter's team.
Dude, here's my contract, except I changed my grade point average to 3.5.
If you're really sure you want to come here, play for me, Coach Carter. Your contract read 3.7, and I'll sign it. But I gotta be hard on you because you're Coach Carter's kid.
I love you, Dad. I mean, Coach Carter.
Leader at practice.
Now, Shaniqua was a tough bitch. This hoe behind me never get off my ass. When I shout Shaniqua, you put on a full court press. LaFonda, that slut, she went on Maura Povich 20 times trying to find her baby's daddy. She do it with anybody. I shout LaFonda, it means zone defense.
The next day.
And Richmond is down by one. 20 seconds left. Coach Carter barks out the play.
Shaniqua.
And Coach Carter's full court press causes a steal pass to Coach Carter's kid. He swishes it. Richmond and Coach Carter win the game.
The next day.
Hey, principal, where's my progress reports?
Coach Carter, this coach basketball. These teachers got too many kids in their classes. They ain't got no time for extra. Why do you care anyway? You're just a basketball coach, Coach Carter.
I want those progress reports.
The next day.
The timeout ends with Richmond down a point.
One, two, three. Richmond is.
And Coach Carter barks out the play.
LaFonda, LaFonda!
Look at Coach Carter suffocating zone defense and a steal. Richmond shoots and scores. Coach Carter's Richmond team, 4-22 a year ago, is now 4-0.
Coach Carter, dealing drugs and playing with guns is fun, but now that you're winning and I won't back on a team.
Okay, Cruz, but you gotta sign this contract and give 10 million suicides and 1 billion push-ups.
Deal. Thanks, Coach Carter.
By Friday. It's an impossible task designed to showcase Coach Carter's unique coaching methods that teach kids the team be more important than any individual.
Huh?
Just start running.
Yeah, all right, all right.
Friday afternoon.
How many did you do so far, Cruz?
6 million suicides and 500 million push-ups.
Coach Carter, I'll do a million for him.
Coach Carter, I'll do a million.
I do 10 million push-ups.
I'll do the rest, Coach Carter.
All right, then.
2 weeks later, Coach Carter's Richmond High is 16-0.
Where are my practice reports?
You the basketball coach. Just win them games. I may be the principal, but even I know nobody cares about them stupid grades, Coach Carter.
Coach Carter cares, and Coach Carter wants your progress report. You promised me when I took this job.
Get your damn progress reports.
F on this test, F on that test, Miss Class F. Damn, my players have violated the terms of Coach Carter's contract.
Later that day, the players arrived for practice.
What the f***? The gym's all locked up and... What's that stuff on that white thing?
I think that's words on a piece of paper. But what do it say?
I don't know. I can't read it. Ask Coach Carter's kid.
It says practice being a librarian.
That's right. You have broken a contract, and the gym stays locked until you meet the terms of your contract.
That sucks ass. Anybody knows winning basketball games is more important than stupid classes about food.
That's 5 billion suicides and 10 trillion push-ups.
Shut up, Coach Carter. I'm a player's daddy.
Make it 10 billion suicides and 20 trillion push-ups.
We won those games with our own playing. You ain't done Coach Carter.
The gym stays locked.
Coach Carter, you're taking away the highlight of my baby's life. Coach, he doing after this.
The gym stays locked. We forfeiting tomorrow's game.
A few days later at Coach Carter's store.
Looks like sales is doing just fine.
Unlock the gym, Coach Carter.
Damn, the gym stays locked.
Sorry, Coach Carter, the community agrees. Basketball comes first. Schoolwork a distant second. Unlock that motherfucking gym and we ain't making Einsteins here with the 2.3 grade average.
I quit.
Don't quit, Coach Carter. Even if the community don't get it, the players do. Right, guys?
Yeah.
We going to the library to meet the terms of our contract.
1 week later,
in spite of Richmond's forfeits, here they are in the state playoffs, playing the number one team and down a point with 20 seconds left and timeout on the floor.
Now, Bonzel was this crackhole who would steal anything to support a habit. If I shout out Bonzel, you steal the ball, okay?
Okay. Okay. Coach Carter, one, two, three,
and the number one team, up a point, tries to inbound the ball.
Vondell!
Richmond steals! They move the ball up the floor! Coach Carter barks out the play!
Shoot the ball into the basket!
Coach Carter's player shoots and scores! But the number one team inbounds the ball, goes the length of the floor, and scores in the buzzer! Coach Carter's team loses in the game of basketball, that is.
That's right, announcer. I am so proud of you guys, because in the game of life, you winning. And thank you for living up to your contract.
Many of the Richmond players went on to college where they graduated and played basketball. And all because of
Coach Carter!